Bob Kincaid.
3 hours of conversation,
and a with America's only.
Let's try this again.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 27th day of May, 2022. This is The Horn. It's Friday on the front porch. Head On .live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room, the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and all times in between and the great globe around. If you would like to, et cetera, run on over, click on chat room, and you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers, Squeaky and Roger in Oregon, and Antol, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. And a merry time will be had by all. Sometime in about an hour or so, we will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we will gather around the extraordinary ordinary round table for Friday on the front porch. Oh, hi, I'm Robin. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. Yeah, I'm sorry about the double-barreled intro there. Of all the things, there's never a dull moment. And today, Never a Dull Moment was brought to you by the button that sticks on my mouse. So I double-clicked everything, whether I wanted to or not. But like I said, thanks go out to all of our subscribers and a la carte contributors, but particularly thanks at the beginning of the program to our 27th day of the month subscribers. That means thank you to David in San Diego. And thank you to Robert in Australia. Thank you so very much indeed. So we are at 1180 to finish the month of May. And that's going to be a tall order. I hope we can. I don't know. Just so we know where everything is schedule-wise, next week is Horn in Hell Week for me. Yay! And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean that I'm going to be, Lord, I'm going to start cooking tomorrow. I'll probably be done cooking sometime Thursday morning. And Annette is on board. She's going to put together some little gift baskets and the like. And so, in no particular order, I'm going to be smoking a salmon. Little bastards are hard to keep lit when you get right down to it. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be here all weekend. Don't try the veal. Don't forget to tip your server. And you've got to use a jumper cable for a roach clip when you're smoking salmon. Oh, stop it, Robin. You're going to smoke a salmon. Smoke pork shoulders. Ribs. I'm going to do the trifold pork loin. A lot of pork in there so far. There will be beef and there will be chicken as well, of some form or another. And I mean that with regard to the beef. I'm still waiting to hear whether or not I'm going to get a brisket. But there's biscuit baking to be done. I'll have some, you'll have some fried fish with the tartar sauce that I hold so dear. Got to make a big batch of the hot slaw. And by the way, I will make some of the hot slaw that isn't hot. I'll just make it without, you know, without the spicy. So, 'cause some people aren't into that. And along the way, I'm going to do a couple of three vegetarian dishes. So the bottom line with all of that is that I'll try to get a program in on Monday, but Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday are a bust. Now, Friday, we will have, for the first time, a Friday on the Front Porch that is live with Friday on the Front Porch participants. And I'm really looking forward to that. I'm hoping the internet. The only hitch in that is the internet at the venue. But it should be a lot of fun, and so don't look for programs on the 31st Tuesday, the 1st of June, or the 2nd of June. Okay, sorry about that. But the bottom line is that means that we've got to come up with $1,100 bucks. In today and Monday. And if we could do it, and then Monday, of course, is Memorial Day, and people will be off doing things, so well, if we could knock it out today, it would be wonderful, but I recognize that that would be a full-on Friday on the Front Porch, community-made miracle. If we can do it, it'll be great. I want to get started with a quick update. I ended the program last night in a sort of grim mood because it looked like the reporting coming out of northern West Virginia was mass shooting. No, mercifully it wasn't that. There was shooting, but this, forgive me, I don't mean to make too light of this, but it wasn't it doesn't sound like it was a mass shooting so much as a meth shooting. The whole thing started with a call to the police on a shoplifting complaint at Wally World. It happens. And when the police arrived, the alleged shoplifters jumped in a white van and took off. And fled. And as they fled, they began taking pot shots at the police. Well, the chase led from Clarksburg through Bridgeport. Apparently people were shooting out of the van at the police all the way through Bridgeport, down into Fairmont. Basically they wrecked the van at Kingmont Road. And this is kind of the moment where you know that there was probably some meth involved or something, because that's when they got out of the van and tried to set fire to the van, kept shooting at the cops, and then tried to flee. Well, all three idiots, dangerous, deadly idiots, have been taken into custody. And it was not a mass shooting. Then there was the guy who rolled up on a party in Kanawha County and apparently did things that made people think that he was about to start shooting them. And a woman pulled out a firearm and blew him the hell away. Welcome to wild, wonderful West Virginia, the fuck around and find out state. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lady B. Lady B says, cooking all weekend? That means you'll be in the kitchen, too. Where a woman belongs. Have a good show. Well, thank you, Lady B. Thank you so much. That's so affirming. I can do the barefoot part. Unfortunately, it's a little late for the pregnant part, so oh well. Yeah, where I belong. Uh-huh. Gonna be some cornbread. And I'm looking for some good quality country ham so that I can slowly render out the makings for some dirty gravy. We've been talking about that for a lot of years. And sausage gravy, too. I don't think anybody's going to go hungry here. Steve in New York asking, were you able to get any Alabama sex clams? I hear they're back on back order, but I was wondering. Well, they are on back order. You know, when you consider it's Alabama, it's kind of hard for me to go down there these days because trans woman orders sex clams. It's just not, you know, nothing good is going to come of that, y'all. But Lady B with a note to get us started this evening. Listening to MSNBC last night. They say the cops engaged with the shooter outside the school, still couldn't manage to disarm or subdue him. They say the kid entered into the school, took them an hour to decide to go in after him. Border Patrol arrived and asked principal for the key. They got in and were able to neutralize him. What? The fucking lazy-ass frightened one gunman, good old boys, were too chicken to engage with an 18-year-old armed kid. Oh, but let's praise the cops. Let's give them a shitload of funding. Call us civilians as if they're in the military and otherwise exalt them. Let them tie up traffic with their gigantic, pompous, self-filleting funerals because their lives matter way more than a 10-year-old kid's does. Jesus Christ. You know, Lady B and I are kind of thinking along the same lines. I see rather frequently that desecrated American flag, you know, the one done in monochrome with one blue stripe. That's flag desecration, by the way. And I've really got a bad case of what good are they. And it sounds like maybe Lady B does too. All cops and politicians say the police need more money. They need an armored Humvee in bumfuck Tiny Town, population 4,000. Don't change their training or even their thinking. Let's watch them hire even fewer minorities. And the ones they do turn out to be brainwashed, self-hating, toe-the-line sycophants. Let's continue to throw money at these incompetent wannabe cosplay warriors. Yeah, it reminds me of something that David in San Francisco said to me the other day when we talked about the story of Pride in San Francisco and the cops saying, "We will not be forced back into the cop closet." You know, the gay cops at Pride. Yeah, I should say the LGBTQ cops at Pride. I guess maybe the cop department in San Francisco has some L's and B's and T's and Q's as well as gay guys. But to his credit, David in San Francisco observed when they said that they would not take off, they would not wear their uniforms at Pride. And God, I got a humongous giggle out of this. Butthurt San Francisco Police. I'm guessing another wrench will be thrown into the fire. Yeah, I'm mixing metaphors. When gay guys that attend don police uniforms as fetish wear. Well, wasn't there a cop in the village, people? I seem to recall it. Let's see. Indigenous man, construction worker, leather guy. Yeah, there's a cop, isn't there? God. So that kind of goes hand in hand with what Lady B's talking about. Incompetent wannabe cosplay warriors. They could have rammed open the door a la... No, this one's going to sting. They could have rammed open the door a la Breonna Taylor style and shot someone. I mean, fuck it, if it was a case of mistaken identity. Not that it would even be fucking possible to falsely identify a person who was dressed in body armor and carrying a weapon. But then again, we'd be asking for too much if we expected fucking cops to actually risk their own lives saving others. Yeah, this would be a good time to point out that the police, as no small number of court cases have demonstrated, the police are not obliged to try to save anybody. And as Stephen New York points out, by the way, what do cops do again? I seriously don't know. Well, I had a friend in law school who referred to them as tax collectors in funny hats. But, I mean, they could have asked for a goddamn key and snuck in, Lady B says, but they didn't. My God, I think my brain is trying to escape my skull and go watch endless episodes of the Maury Povich Show. I fucking hate the Maury Povich Show. As an aside, these are the type of smarmy motherfuckers who think it is funny to deride people like you and me for having college degrees because they themselves are naturally blessed with common sense. Oh, Jesus, common sense. Had a little discussion online today about common sense. It's funny that so often the things that are pointed out as common sense are uncommonly nonsensical. Fucking unreal, Lady B continues, an absolute joke. All of them should be fired. No fucking administrative leave with pay, no goddamn pension. Let them spend their working lives cooking fries at fucking McDonald's. No Medicaid, no food stamps, fuck them. As far as a lawsuit, the town itself will have to cover it. By the way, I've been mispronouncing it. It is, in fact, Uvalde. Joy in Ann Arbor, who is an expert in Texan, helped clear things up for me. Uvalde, with a short A, like Uvalde. Oh, see, I'm still screwing it up. Uvalde, with a short A, like in Valerie. And we say Rio Grande with grand as one syllable because we're basically crackers. Joy then noted, oh, look, it's Greg Asbot on my TV. Gotta go. I need more bullshit for my gardening. Have a great show. Thank you, Joy. Uvalde. All those years trying to learn to pronounce European languages Europeanly, and it don't come to nothing, Mr. Finch. But as Lady V says, well, the town itself will have to cover any lawsuit. Of course, they can't afford it. This needs to go federal. This is Supreme Court level shit. The catch, of course, is the fact that the Supreme Court probably won't do shit either. Wow, the sheer fear and incompetence. Maybe the shooter should have dressed up as a 15-point buck or a paper human silhouette, or even have been a black guy. That would have made it easier. And honestly, if they did let loose, even if it was out of sheer racism, at least we wouldn't have 19 dead kids. Fourth graders, by the way. Fourth graders. Robin, I'll bet my last dollar there was some racism involved in this. I know the kid had a Hispanic surname, but for the life of me, why weren't those cops quicker to act? The boy had body armor and a semi-automatic. Everybody knows cops love to rain a barrage of bullets on people they don't like. Hell, Border Patrol shot him 15 times. There were more cops than that boy. What the fuck? Good is target practice when you don't even learn to aim for vulnerable spots. And that's what baffles me. Why did none of those assholes manage to squeeze off a headshot? How long did it take for the fucking SWAT team to show up? Isn't that their specialty? So many questions, and yet so little time before this story vanishes from the news cycle. Look how quickly Buffalo vanished. All it took was Uvalde. One of the little girls pretended to be dead. She covered herself in the blood of one of her friends who later died. Apparently the blood of Christ wasn't available. He was too busy helping the local football team win a scrimmage. But anyway, that's a smart girl. That will be a hardened woman, too, though. But may she live a long life. Hell, she should run for office or join the police force herself. At least she'll have walked the walk. My God. Armed civilians and armed cops. What the fuck, America? Yeah, and on that little note, I was talking with our youngest today, and because I didn't recall, I said, when you were like in elementary school, did you have active shooter drills? And she said, no. She said, we didn't get those until we got to high school. So So high school for her was, like 2013 to 2017 or so. Maybe 14 to 18. Our oldest didn't have active shooter drills until high school. And neither did our youngest, or the two in between. And, of course, my youngest has, little guy. Oh, he's a sweetheart. He'll be two this fall. And she said she was kind of triggered, when she saw the news coming out of Uvalde. Because she said, we didn't have active shooter drills. Mama taught us the bit about using some nearby blood and fixing your eyes open. And laying very still. Maybe pulling a body over top of one. And that is the wonder that is Annette. And before I could, and I was recounting all of this to Annette, and she said, oh yeah, I remember when they were little, I told them, get some of the blood on you, open your eyes real wide, and pull one of the bodies on top. Before I even told her what our daughter had said. That's a commentary on the times, isn't it? Today's song, Lady B says, is Gimme Shelter. It's a great song, but brutal, because apparently adulthood is just a missed shot away. Whoa, children. Let me summarize by quoting a former fellow disc jockey and wisecracking sage, Scott in San Diego, all praise be his name. We're all screwed, Robin. Have a good weekend anyway. Let those who are alive live their best. Hear, hear, Lady B, and I hope you have... And of course, it's Memorial Day weekend. Or what began as something called Decoration Day. Decoration Day, meaning the day that one... The Sunday that one goes after church and decorates, and Confederates went to decorate the graves of the fallen traitors. It became a national holiday, and it's now Memorial Day for remembering those who gave their lives in military service. Which brings me back to something that I said several years ago. I wanted to found something called the Natural Manure Award. Remember talking about that? No disrespect. Thomas Jefferson, landowning enslaver and third president of the United States, at a time when there was an uprising in Massachusetts and he wasn't getting along with John Adams, second president of the United States, wanted to fan the flames a little bit. Tom did. He, in his high, reedy voice, he sounds a little like Junior. I like to think of him like that. And said he sort of shuffled around the White House in his bathrobe and his slippers. But he said, in response to some violence in Massachusetts about government overreach, he said the tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. And so I thought we should come up with something called the Natural Manure Award. And we should award it every time someone, or several people, get gunned down in one of our occasional spasms of Second Amendment freedom. We should give out a medal called the Natural Manure Award. Again, no disrespect intended, but you have to sort it out. Gun violence, because the people who use that phrase the most are, of course, the pasty-faced, doughy gun humpers of the
National Rifle Association and the Association of Concerned Gun Owner of American Second Amendment, yada, yada, yada. Because remember, there are groups out there that think that the NRA is a bunch of sissies and that they're not sufficiently devoted to goons. And they run around quoting that Tree of Liberty horse shit. And so within that rubric, we kind of have to sort out what are the 19 fourth graders and the two teachers of Uvalde? Well, they're not tyrants, so that means they were patriots. And the Tree of Liberty, the Tree of Liberty has been copiously watered in blood, in its natural manure. Maybe that's one of the problems, that one of the founders of this country saw bloodshed as natural. Remember, of course, property-owning enslaver Tom Jefferson never heard a shot fired in anger. He had tunnels underneath Monticello that he used as an escape hatch. He never served in the Continental Army, never served in any military, but he sure could turn a pretty phrase, couldn't he? Yeah. Natural manure. Oh, thank you, Matt in San Francisco, the Village People, the cops sang lead on most of the songs. I didn't realize that. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. The pigs in Texas, Steve in New York says, this is making me queasy. This is looking intentional, gizzard quiver. Yeah, it kind of feels like, well, something ain't right. Lee in New York, what do cops do? I tell police officers that I belong to the most scrutinized group. I own a car. Tax collectors in funny hats. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Ralph's reminding us, the Uvalde police have never dealt with this kind of public scrutiny. Well, congratulations and welcome to it. The subhead over at Crooks and Liars saying, Uvalde police have never dealt with this kind of public scrutiny, and there are probably a lot of cockroaches under that rock. Sarah Spector tweeted, as an ex-prosecutor from Uvalde, I can say, based on my past interactions with Uvalde PD, you will never know the truth about what went down in that school until every inch of videotape is released to the press. The author of the post saying, one place they might start is to sue to get a copy of UPD's updated policy and procedures manual, which insurance companies require for liability coverage, at least on paper. Insurance companies are corrupt, too. FOIA lawsuit for the disciplinary records of every one of those cops. I suspect there aren't any. You know why? Because politicized police departments don't update their P&P manual for a reason. If a policy isn't in writing, you can't discipline a cop for violating it, and police unions like it that way. Susie Madrak, whom I respect very much, said, it's all just another way that men with guns who see themselves as victims hold this country hostage. And that is truth. And Lee, with regard to the Natural Manure Award, says, I consider the more appropriate winners to be the people who repeatedly cite the Jefferson quote. Yeah. Well, and thank you very kindly to an anonymous friend. A two-for-one challenge. The anonymous $300 Horny Hornin two-for-one challenge. Our anonymous benefactor will match any and all other contributions up to $300, two-for-one, if they come in before 9 a.m. on Monday morning.
That's tremendous. That would get us very close to being done for the month of May. Tell me, if you don't mind sending me a note, because remember, math challenge, tell me exactly how that works. It's an anonymous $300 horny horn in two-for-one challenge. So basically, if we can raise $100, that will result in, or $150? See, this is why I get lost. No, it's a two-for-one, so it's $100. Anyway, we will reduce the $1,180 to $780, and that will get us a long way down the road. So if we can get started on that that $300 horny horn in 2-for-1 challenge, that would be great. More details do continue to pour out, leak out, drip, drip, drip out. Mia Cirillo, or Cirillo, she was with her mama, Nora Nais, when she talked to CNN about what she experienced. I understand the urge, and but I wonder a little bit if it's a good idea to make kids relive this sort of thing. They're not grown-ups. Let's listen to the account, and well in advance, trigger warning, content warning. Yeah.
The 11-year-old Mia Cirillo, who was wounded in the fourth grade classroom. Mia wants the world to know what she saw, what she lived through, but Mia is so scared of men right now because of what happened that she only feels comfortable speaking with women. She also did not want to go on camera.
Imagine that.
She did agree to speak with my partner, CNN producer Nora Noose. Nora, you were in with Mia and her mother. I want to make clear her mother was there the whole time. What did she tell you?
So 11-year-old Mia Cirillo was in that fourth grade classroom that we've heard so much about with Miss Garcia and Miss Mireles. She said they were watching Lilo and Stitch because it was the end of the school year. They'd finished their lessons. And she said one of her teachers got an email that there was a shooter in the building and went to the door, and he was right there. And they made eye contact.
The shooter made eye contact with the teacher.
With the teacher, and then he shot out the window in the door. And then Mia says it just happened all so fast. He backed the teacher into the classroom. And he made eye contact with the teacher again, looked her right in the eye, and said, good night, and then shot her and killed her.
He said good night before he shot her.
Good night. And then it happened pretty fast after that as well. He started open firing in the classroom. He hit the other teacher, a lot of Mia's friends. At that point, Mia was hit by fragments of the bullets. You could even see them yesterday, on her back, on her shoulders, the back of her head.
The shooter then, she says, went into the adjoining classroom.
Yeah, so he went through this door to the adjoining classroom, and at that point, Mia could hear screams. She heard a lot more gunfire. And then she said she heard music. She thinks it was the gunman that put it on. He started blasting sad music. And I asked her, what was that? What kind of music? What do you mean by that? And she just said, it sounded like I want people to die music.
Ugh. She said she heard music. She said it sounded like I want people to die music. What did Mia do then?
So she had a friend next to her that she was pretty sure was already dead and was laying on the ground bleeding out. And she put her hands in her friend's blood and then smeared it, she said, all over her body. She wanted to seem like, she wanted to look like she was dead. She was scared that the gunman was going to come back through that adjoining door back into the classroom, and she wanted to be able to play dead.
She also told you that she called 911.
Yeah, so after she smeared the blood all over her body, she and a friend went and were able to take the phone off of one of the teachers who had already been killed. And they called 911, and they were actually able to make contact with the dispatcher. And they talked to a dispatcher for a little while and told them what was going on inside. And Mia kept saying, telling me that she kept saying, we're in trouble, we're in trouble. Like, please come, we're in trouble.
One of the interesting things you told me is that Mia said to you that she felt like it all lasted for 3 hours.
Yeah, she was like, oh yeah, I was in there for 3 hours. And her mom said, well, sweetheart, I think it was closer to 1 hour, but I'm sure it felt that way.
And what did Mia think the police were doing during this time?
She said she thought the police just hadn't gotten there yet, that somehow they just weren't there yet. And she said, you know, she'd been pretty stoic up until this point in the interview. And this was actually when she started getting emotional and started crying. She said, I heard the grown-ups later say the police were outside and that they weren't coming in. And she got emotional talking to me about this and said, you know, why didn't they come in? Why didn't they save us? Why the police were outside? Like, she just couldn't. It was clear in her 11-year-old brain, I mean, in my brain, why they wouldn't come in and help and save her.
So again, you spent some time with her and her mother. She's obviously just been through the worst thing, hopefully, that she'll ever go through in her entire life. You know, how did she seem to you? How did she look to you?
Honestly, not great. She seems completely traumatized. Physically, she's mostly okay. She has these bullet fragments all over the back of her shoulders and her back and the back of her head. She said overnight a lot of her hair fell out in just kind of big clumps from where the bullet fragments had hit. So she's bummed about that. But just completely traumatized. And her parents are trying to get her some kind of therapy help. And they'll probably have to drive her to San Antonio for that. And so they're actually starting a GoFundMe page to pay specifically for that therapy cost.
Yeah, because God knows the state of Texas won't do that.
On the ground.
They got conservative values.
It's going to be really important. So that GoFundMe is on the screen.
I mean, she's been through so much. She saw her teacher killed before her eyes. She saw her friends killed before her eyes. I simply can't imagine. And then one other thing you told me that just gives us a sense of her state of mind right now. You have an alarm on your cell phone. Your alarm went off accidentally on your cell phone while you were talking to her. What happened?
I felt so bad. I mean, it just was an accident, and she clearly was kind of triggered by that. And her mom said, you know, that's been happening a lot. They were at a car wash yesterday and went to vacuum out the car, and it completely set her off. She's not sleeping right now. The whole interview, she brought a blanket with her, and the whole interview, she just was, like, covering herself in this blanket, and it was hot. But it felt like she just was trying to keep herself covered.
And just to be clear, one last time, she really wanted, to talk. I mean, she didn't want to talk to a man, but she wanted to get her story out there. Why?
She kept saying that she wants to try to prevent this from this happening to other kids, that she thought that if she talked to someone, if she did an interview, that maybe people would realize what it was really like to be in a school shooting, and that maybe something would change and other kids wouldn't get hurt. And I kept saying, you know, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this interview. Like, this is up, you're in charge. This is your decision. But she kept saying, no, I really want to do this.
All right. Nora News, thank you for speaking with her. Thank you for telling us what she said. Please tell the family that we're thinking of them, and we appreciate them reaching out. So thank you. Right, a lot of new information there. We had not heard really the perspective of what it was like to be inside the classroom while it was happening. And frankly, it is just horrific.
Well, yeah, it is. Horrifying. Traumatizing. And Mia is not going to be okay. She's not going to be okay for a very, very long time. And the idea that there's a GoFundMe page out there, and I hope, and you know, it went out on CNN, so people will go find it, and they'll help. And I guess Republicans can take some goddamn solace in the fact that at least it's not socialism. Oh! Fuck Greg Abbott with a white, and I do mean white, hot poker.
Mommy, can I please go talk to somebody about this? Mommy, I really need to talk. Well, no, honey, we don't have enough money to pay a therapist yet. Because this is Texas, sugar, and we've got freedom. I apologize. We talk about the news on this program. We have for 18 almost years, almost two decades. And we've talked about a lot of horrifying shit. And these last 5 days, have been as horrifying as anything we've talked about. And I can't be dispassionate about it. Little girl's afraid is afraid of men now. Well, not without reason. And just not to put too fine a point on it, and I put a little post up yesterday on Facebook about it kind of touching on this. Since my transition, a lot of people have been really, really sweet and kind and accepting. And I'm not making this about me, but I have to use my own experience to try to make this point. And any number, probably every woman in this community would probably say something similar. If you want to add to her or subtract from it, feel free. But I'm not entirely comfortable around men now either. I'm downright uncomfortable sometimes. I think I'd been transitioning for 6 weeks maybe when the first time somebody just grabbed my ass, some guy. I think I told the story of standing in the Little General over in Beckley. I was taking a bag of clothes, to change of clothes to Ferg. And some guy behind me said, "Well, just how tall are you, honey?" And I did not turn around and say, "Tall enough to stomp your little ass." I didn't. Because you don't want to start that shit. Might not even be able to now. Estrogen has absolutely devastated my muscle mass. But it's what we do to survive. If you're trans.
Why are you going to talk about the trans stuff all the time, Robin? No, damn it. Talk about interesting things.
Well, it caused me to look back and I just kind of grimace at the idea that I, who have tried to go through life being a decent human being and being kind, I don't know how many times I creeped a woman out just by saying hi or smiling. Thinking I was trying to just make life a little better. That's how deep it runs. That's what patriarchy gets you. It is literally a way of life based upon fear. And I mention all of this because these goddamn guns are a tool of the patriarchy. Terrifying a country into thinking that everybody is dangerous, therefore everybody must have access to a gun, is a way of enforcing the patriarchy. We have, as we have talked about on this program before, we have gun purses now. It was maybe last week when I mentioned the idiot in Michigan who shot herself through the heart because she was trying to holster her freedom protector in her gun bra. Really, a bra with a holster built into it. I mean, when you get right down to it, they're kind of holsters anyway, but no, with a holster for a handgun, and you bang right through the heart, Republican in Michigan, years ago now. Because, you know, you got to have one in the pipe. Got to be ready to go. Don't even want a safety. Because, you know, when you got to go, you got to go. And I don't mean go, I mean go. She's afraid of men now. I wonder if she's afraid of her daddy. Her grandpa. He's Steve in New York says, fuck, Robin. An elementary school kid should not know this shit. No. But she did, and it may have saved her life. And the fact of the matter is, Steve, in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, amen. Elementary school kids, by God, have to know this if they want to live to not be elementary school kids, if they want to live to be middle schoolers, or if they want to live to be high schoolers or college students or people working and scrambling for a living. And by the way, with that in mind, something Joy in Ann Arbor sent along, and this goes to what I was talking about last night about how we vote. To be fair, Joy says, Uvalde is in the blue part of Texas. If these brown families voted at all, it was more likely that they voted blue. Having grown up with such families in my Texas days, I can tell you that they're probably too busy working multiple jobs to follow politics. If you live in a blood red state and you're not a white cis male, it's easy to feel a lot of hopelessness about politics. Joy added, also, I know that legally cops are not required to risk their lives to save anyone, and I believe that's been upheld in court. Yes, ma'am. So I'm wondering if that was a factor in Uvalde. If the cops aren't required to go in, do they really have the right to handcuff and pepper spray the parents who did want to go in? Well, of course they did, Joy, because that constituted obstructing an officer in the lawful lawful execution of his duties, even if his duties are defined as doing nothing while 19 children are chopped into chutney with semi-automatic weapons fire. Lee in New York says, trauma. That girl will have trauma as part of her for the rest of her life. My September 11th, 2001 experience was less traumatic, yet I will never forget that day. She will never forget that day for the rest of her life. The only question is how much she will be able to function in an average way for each day in her future. You know, I think back to another Texas story, because I worked it at a distance. And I've talked about this in the past. It was the beginning of what we now recognize as the 24-hour news cycle, and the myopic, obsessive-compulsive coverage of one story and one story only by the multimillionaire for-profit media. And that was baby Jessica down the well, Midland, Texas. An old drill hole got left open, and a toddler crawled and fell down in it. And America and the world waited and waited and waited, horrified and hopeful at the same time, that that child might be extracted. Well, not to recount the whole thing, but by the time it all was said and done, the baby was rescued. Little Jessica was rescued. And she's a full grown... My God, how old would she be now? Thirty-seven? And her life has not been easy. But that's one of the failings of the, you know, with the exception of the occasional where are they now sort of coverage. The media go away, and maybe that's a good thing. Because they don't come back and trigger the, you know, hopefully this child can just disappear into her world and live something resembling a normal life if she can get, you know, therapy now, because unresolved trauma wreaks havoc. Absolute havoc in someone trying to adult. Oh, by the way, that's not really a verb. That's one of those things that so irritates cranky old white man. Bill Maher. He hates the word adulting, because that's a playful little word that, you know, like millennials use. Adulting is hard. I use it too. I picked it up from my kids. It's clever. It's not quite as awkward as grown-upping. Participial form, adulting, grown-upping. Oh, but he doesn't like it. Because he's a cranky old man. A cranky old white man. Yeah. Now, by the way, he's been on an anti-trans binge lately. It seems to be all the thing. Dave Chappelle showed how much money you could make by hating trans people. So, you know, God forbid Bill Maher wouldn't jump on that bandwagon. And now we have Ricky Gervais. And he's going to make some money on some trans backs. Just remember, when you watch these things, consumer choices are moral choices. I'm not telling you not to. I don't tell you anything.
Stop telling us not to watch Ricky Gervais, Robin.
No, not going to do that. But just remember, supporting these assholes supports the things they believe in. You want to know how bad Bill Maher's transphobia has gotten? He's being praised by Marginal Trailer Queen. Thank you, Bill Maher. No, really. But yeah, you're right, Lee. She's going to have trauma for the rest of her days. Jude says, from rage to weeping, as we each walk this walk, inner and outer unfathomable reality. Yeah. Texas really is, I mean, there are great people in Texas. I think particularly of our dear friend, John Brittavo. And so many, I think, way back to the beginnings of this program, and Rick Goodner. I think about Dr. Allen in Waco. Our dear friend, Dr. John, is a Texas boy. There are a lot of fine, fine people in Texas. Probably more actual progressives in Texas than there are in a couple of New England states. And it's harder to be progressive down there. Believe you me. But Texas, by and large, for all its natural beauty, I have come to the conclusion, is a shitty place. A shithole place. And I apologize to all my Texas friends and the Texas expats. Joy, I hope you won't be taken aback by that. Then again, there's probably a reason you're not in Texas anymore. A hateful, mean, vicious, spiteful, shitty place. Let's go to Texas. The story comes from the Los Angeles Blade. The author is James Finn, writing in Detroit. The story takes place in El Paso.
Down in the West Texas town of El Paso.
Yeah. The story opens. It's a story of a little trans girl named Tracy. And yes, this has a Uvalde connection, because numerous trans girls, remember, I've been talking about 4chan. Well, it's a toxic place, and it's where a lot of this shit originates. 4chan assholes crawled the internet to find, and they knew damned good and well it wasn't him, but to find trans girls who looked vaguely like the murderer from Uvalde. They found several. One trans girl in Georgia was photographed herself standing in front of a trans flag the day after the massacre, holding up a piece of paper with the date and the time on it to show that she was not, in fact, the Uvalde murderer. Well, Tracy is 17 years old, and she lives in El Paso. She's a high school student there. Life is already hard enough for her because her parents threw her out of the house for being trans. And so, the story from the Los Angeles Blade opens, "Oh, look, it has a dick," snarled one of four men last night outside an El Paso library where Tracy had just finished her high school homework before heading to the halfway house where she lives because her parents kicked her out for being trans. In a phone interview today, Tracy told me the man grabbed her arm and forced her body around to make her look at him, saying, "Yeah, you know, they're perverting kids instead of killing them." She had no idea what he meant, but she was scared, like she says she usually is on the streets of El Paso these days. "I'm only 17, she told the man who grabbed her. Another man said, "Yeah, you know, it was one of your sisters who killed those kids. You're a mental health freak." She twisted away and rushed off on her bicycle, stopping to phone the El Paso police, who refused to take an assault report. I guess she had it coming, didn't she? What are the police good for? Somebody? Anybody? Bueller? Hours later, during a phone session with a Rainbow Youth Project counselor, Tracy heard about false rumors flying around the internet that the horrific mass shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, had been committed by a transsexual leftist illegal alien. That 4chan rumor got legs thanks to the demon dentist of the desert, Paul Gosar of Arizona, insurrectionist. Now, this article says no one's quite sure where that false claim got started. I've dug around enough to know that it is 4chan. And just for anybody wondering, Tracy, 17-year-old Tracy in El Paso, is not mentally ill. She's perfectly healthy. Of course, she poses no threat to anyone. But every man she sees poses a threat to her. But she did live on the streets for 2 months this year in El Paso, because students in her school said that they would out her to her transphobic parents. And so she came out to her parents to get ahead of the horror, and her parents responded by disowning her and throwing her out. Yeah. This is why a lot of trans kids, this is why an abnormally high number of trans kids either think about, attempt, or commit suicide. She can't even have a decent high school education because she is opposed by her peers, fellow students, and by her teachers themselves. At one point in time, she could at least talk to a guidance counselor in her high school. But she doesn't do that anymore because the counselor got in trouble. Because people started saying that the guidance counselor transed her. So she started seeing a counselor in Texas at a local community clinic. She can't do that anymore either because after Greg Asbot decided to attack trans children, they closed their doors to trans people. I read this last night, and that's when I posted the thing on Facebook about, "Why you talk about the trans stuff all the time, Robin?" That Rainbow Youth Project, oh my God, I wish I had extra money, I'd donate. A volunteer from the Rainbow Youth Project flew to El Paso from out of state 2 months ago to be Tracy's advocate. They got her off the streets. They got her into a room in a halfway house. Tracy says it's nice and comfortable. And now Tracy has somebody to call when she's feeling down, when she feels like the whole world is against her, because it is in Texas. She told this reporter that the only kind people she can talk to now don't live in Texas. And she hopes when she turns 18 she can just get the hell out. The article is by James Finn. It's at LosAngelesBlade.com. So I just thought I'd share that. This is what makes it hard. The surgery was difficult. The recovery is difficult. Having a little bit of a personal hard time right now. But I'll make it. I'll make it because I'm fortunate in that I live in a community where people are kind and accepting. But even in a kind and accepting community, it can be very difficult. It's really hard when you see people adopting, because it's so easy to do, the language of the Bill Maher's and the Dave Chappelle's and the Ricky Gervais's and the Republicans. I mean, Bill Maher is making the very same arguments Republicans in Alabama, etc. do. And people are still watching going, damn, he's liberal. He sure is funny, that liberal Bill Maher. God damn. Flavio says, maybe people ought to see what the EMS people see on a regular basis. Little babies turned to hamburger by an AR-15 every night, prime time, evening news. Just like Emmett Till's mama demanded an open casket for his funeral in Chicago and said, I want people to see what they did to my little boy. That gave birth, in many ways, to the civil rights movement. Maybe the best way to absolutely put an end to the NRA and all these goddamn gun humpers and their sick, disgusting firearms fetish is to show the entire United States of America what it looks like when freedom breaks out in an elementary school. The goddamned the misogynistic anti-choice freaks sure don't hesitate to wave posters of so-called aborted babies in the faces of women going to Planned Parenthood for a goddamn mammogram or a pap smear. Now, do they? And look how well that's worked. It has ginned up a multi-billion-dollar goddamned industry that is poised to take away the civil rights of half of the population of this country. Maybe we need to learn. Where's fucking TMZ when you need them? They're good at getting photographs we're not supposed to see. Oh, but we wouldn't. Oh, we wouldn't. No, hell no. I want a piece of poster board with the children of Uvalde, and I want to slam it up in Rand Paul's goddamn filthy face. I don't want Ted Cruz to be able to move without being surrounded by a wall of those lovely slaughtered children. Uvalde should be the only word that echoes through the corridors of his sick, twisted mind. Any disagreement? Matt in San Francisco says, when I came home from school and my mom asked me what I did at school today, I never answered. I never answered, watched my teacher be shot, my classmates be killed, covered myself in their blood and pretended to be dead, and then called 911 a few times while the police stood outside and did nothing. I don't even know, Matt says, how a 10-year-old can process all that, let alone move on from that and not allow it to impact them for the rest of their days on this earth. This country's exceptional, all right. Every new day brings another layer of disgust thicker than the day prior. What did you learn today? I learned how to smear myself in blood. And I'm afraid of men. Men carry guns. Guns kill children. Sorry, gun humpers, you can't blame the child for being traumatized. This is on y'all. Own it. Thank you. Balmer Bob with a note. Here's a dollar-for-dollar, $100 challenge for tonight's program. I wish to celebrate Jamie McLeod Skinner's primary victory over Kurt Schrader in Oregon's 5th District. Schrader opposed COVID relief. He provided the decisive vote to block Medicare from negotiating drug prices as part of Build Back Better. He was forced to apologize when he compared the second impeachment of former President Donald Trump to a lynching. That's worth celebrating. Thank you, Baltimore Bob. Thank you. So there's $400 in challenges on the table. If those challenges were met, we'd be awfully damned close to actually making it to the end of May to the good, or even, as it were. Thank you so much. I hope we can get started. Well, there's always that. Flavio says, then again, sorry for my cynicism, but maybe a plurality of the country would get off on seeing babies turned to hamburger by an AR-15. Well, you know what they do, Flavio. They just start pissing and moaning about, well, you can't politicize this tragedy. Because that's how they roll. But I'm a little past the top of the hour. Let's check in with the Friday on the Front Porch group and see how things go. Thank you, Ralphs, for jumping in on the Horny Horn In Challenge. Thank you so much to Sharon for getting us started this evening. Let me see if I've got everything going. And by the way, I'm sorry it sounds like a wind tunnel in here, but I got to have some fan going or I'm going to melt. Hey, Sparky.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Somebody has to mute,
yeah? Yeah, that would be a good thing. Got some noise going on in the background. There we go.
See who it is.
Oh, I think it was Kevin. Kevin's got some, had some audio going in the background.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, I just got a note from Lady B. I'd seen this and then I lost track of it. Lady B and Flavio are on the same page. Show the bodies, says Lady B. Emmett Till the hell out of those pics. The kids had to be identified by fucking DNA, by goddamn mouth swabs from their parents. Jesus fucking Christ. If we can show slasher movies like Saw, we can show this, except this isn't the fantasy of a Hollywood sicko mind. This is reality in America. You just saw two of my great nieces. She sent the photos. Would you not lay your life down for those precious souls? I would, in a motherfucking heartbeat. I would lay down my life for any child. If we have to suffer from this bullshit, just kill us adults. Most of us deserve it anyway. Show Americans what terrorism looks like. Give us all PTSD, because fuck a motherfucker who thinks they need something that causes so much harm and grief. Show the bodies with the parents' permission, not on 4chan. Show it on all the networks. Put it on as an ad on Hulu. Fuck this bullshit. If their families have to suffer, so should we for letting those psychopaths get elected. Show the bodies. May God have mercy on our wretched, wretched souls. And Ralphs is in agreement. She says, publish the photos of the Uvalde victims. I'm still working on that. Yes. I don't want to see them. I don't know what would happen to me if I did. But by God, I know America deserves to see them. Not in a sense of right or just, but in a look at what you have allowed to happen since. Sorry about that, Sparky. Are we all sorted out now?
I think so. I got everybody muted that wasn't muted.
Okay.
I'm going to go enjoy myself in a little bit.
I think you should.
I'm going to the Rolling Hills Casino in Corning, California, which is 18 miles south of me.
Yeah.
To meet somebody at 4 o'clock. So that's why I said I have to get going at 3:30.
I understand. Well, you know, are you gonna do a little gambling?
No. Gonna have dinner, maybe a couple of beers.
Well, that'll be nice. That'll be fun. Is this?
I will look around to see what the place is like. See who the entertainment is for Friday night down there, because they got a big concert venue. Maybe somebody's performing there tonight. You know how these Indian casinos are out here now.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'd be cool if there was a nice act.
I checked the menus of the place I'm going. I think I'm going to have their tacos look good.
Sounds
There's
tasty.
There's a couple of restaurants in the casino too.
Well, I tell you what, we've got a great little restaurant that's been open for a little while here in over in Fayetteville. It's called The Takeout, and they do sandwiches, wraps, and bowls, rice bowls. And I grabbed one yesterday. It was a sushi bowl, and it had crab and tuna. I told him to hold the salmon, and rice and sauce and edamame and it just absolutely delicious. And then Swiftwater, which is over here on my side of the river, did meatloaf sandwiches yesterday. And, oh, my God, they were heartbreakingly good. I saved one for breakfast this morning and re-grilled it on the iron griddle. A lot of fun places to see here. Well, I hope you have a good time. And enjoy the company of whoever it is you're with.
Well, I'll be meeting her for the first time.
Ooh. Sparky, I think there must be... I think there's probably steam coming off of that whatever dating app you're using.
Well, one of them, they canceled me out. I had it for a year, but then now I can't even get in there. They want me to renew my subscription. I thought, hell no.
And those subscriptions are expensive.
Yeah, but they can't renew it because the card I used when I got it, it was hacked, and I had to get a new card. So,
well, I think it cost me like $30 to find out that there's a whole bunch of people out there who don't read profiles. You know, the part that says post-op trans woman. And then they like you, and you look at their profile, and it says Christian conservative. I'm like, did you even read my... bye.
No, I've talked to some women that start... We chatted with them, have not physically talked to them, chatted with them on the Hangout app. And they start doing the God talk, and I just say...
Bye.
No, I just say, I don't believe in God.
That's sufficient.
If you want to keep chatting with me, then good, but... Don't keep putting that shit in my face.
I think that's probably a losing proposition. The God, that, you know, I don't do the God stuff. Because that means that you need saving, Sparky.
Nobody can save me now. I've gone 70 years without it, so...
Oh, no, right no, now. It's never too late. You know, no. No, yes, that just makes you a challenge. Don't you understand?
They could challenge it all they want, but I'm not going there. I was married to a woman for 37 years that knew I didn't believe in God, but she did.
And she never got you saved, did she? Bless her heart.
No, because she never went to church. To get saved in herself, she just believed.
Well, I think there's, you know, a lot of people have a fundamental urge to believe.
Yeah, she went to church when we first met with her mother-in-law. I mean, not her mother, but her stepmother a couple times, I think. She knew all the people that went to her church anyway up there in Lookout, California. It's a small, small place. So everybody knows everybody. I'm glad I never have to go to that place ever again.
I can understand.
Just bad mojo there. I won't get into the details.
No, I get it. I get it. I surely do get it.
So I'm enjoying life now here.
Yeah.
Got to.
This ain't dress rehearsal, and you know that.
What?
I said, this ain't dress rehearsal, and you know that. This is what you get. The life you get is the life you get.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially now. My other friend is on a cruise to Alaska right now.
Oh, nice.
Mary?
Yeah.
She's on a cruise to Alaska. She'll be back after Sunday, I think. I haven't heard anything from her. I got one or two text messages. That's about it. She said, I've been cut off from the world.
Yeah, not the best internet coverage on cruise ships. I heard it's gotten better.
I guess not. Well, they're going up the coast, you know, and they supposedly stopped in Canada for the first stop. And then they're going up the inland passage up there towards Juneau somewhere, I guess. Turn around, come back. I'm sure she'll have fun, or is having fun at the moment.
Well, I'll assume, you know,
when she gets back.
There's only one thing.
I gave her some money.
Go ahead.
I gave her some money to buy me a T-shirt.
Any particular kind?
Something with Alaska on it.
Maybe a nice orca or something like that in Alaska.
I don't know.
Or my favorite Alaska thing. The top lettering says, "What do you know?" The bottom says, "I don't know Alaska." No, nothing.
No, my sister sent me one. She used to live up there. I mean, my niece still lives up there. She sent me one time. It's like the Alaska state bird. You know what that is, don't you?
The mosquito?
Yeah, big one. Covered my whole chest.
Tsetse flies the size of eagles.
Long ago, that shirt's long gone. I was digging through my drawer today and I found an SR-71 t-shirt that I had. So I'm putting it back in circulation. I found another t-shirt that I thought, what the hell did it do with it when I was moving? Because I dug in my old stereo equipment and I was pulling out the cassette tape player and I found the t-shirt in the box backing material. Because I'm going through getting rid of a lot of stuff. It's amazing what you find.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when something's been in a box for more than 5 years, it's like it transforms to brand new again because you even forgot you had it.
Yeah, well, this was 11 years some of these boxes have been sitting around before I went through them. I'll tell you a funny story. We were going through some boxes as Mary was over helping me. And we were going through a box of my stepson's stuff. And I found this little package in there. It said, contraceptive sponge on it. I'd never seen one before. We were going through throwing stuff away. So I showed it to Mary. She grabbed it out of my hands and threw it away.
What the hell?
Then I was going through another box with the neighbor and found another one.
Did she grab it out of your hands and throw it away too?
No, I just showed it to her. I held on to
it. Wow.
Don't know what I did with it now, but somewhere. It's probably from the 90s or something. Way back when Brian used to live with us. Right after he got out of the Army.
Well, listen, I hope you have a blast this evening.
Yeah, I'm going to get ready to go.
Glam up!
So. All right.
Suit and tie?
Somebody else.
Suit and tie, uh-huh. Sport jacket? Anything like that?
No, just a polo shirt.
Just cash.
Carhartt jeans. Real nice Carhartt jeans.
Northern California casual.
Yeah, you don't dress up to go to a casino.
You're ditching the bib overalls?
No, I'm not wearing that, Hot Roger.
That's what he said. You're ditching the bib overalls.
Yes. I only wear those when I'm home. Working in the shop or something like that. Or the man cave. It's man cave attire. So I got to get ready to go. You guys have a good one.
You too, Sparky. You too. Drive safe and enjoy your evening.
Right. I will. Freeway all the way.
Nice. Oh, I heard your voice, Roger. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Set stuff out on the lid of the hot tub to pack in the suitcase. So that's how I know what flavor of chips I'm bringing.
Ah, okay. Well, all the cooking begins tomorrow.
Well, your resupply on smoking chips won't be there till Thursday night.
That's okay. Maybe I'll wait to smoke the salmon until then.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I say that because, you know, smoking the salmon only takes a couple of hours.
Unless
you've experienced it, alder does make all the difference. I mean, I've smoked salmon over hickory, over pecan, over grape. Alder just has the right flavor.
Well, historically, on the north coast of California, that's all the... that's. If anybody's selling smoked salmon, it's done on alder chips.
Yeah.
In northwestern California. That's the only wood that gets used. And there are even some that go out in the woods and look for 2 to 3 year old alder wood that's on the forest floor because they like the just beginning to rot alder wood.
Oh, yeah, probably has a little bit of a funk to it.
Yeah, and it's also got a higher moisture content than the alder chips that I'm getting. So it's a longer, more gentle smoke release because it takes more time for it to smolder than what it does. If you take the chips I can get here and you soak them for a couple hours before you put them in the smoker. But they still burn faster than the slightly punky alder wood. So that's just one of those things that unless you live where alder trees grow and have fallen over years past to where you can go out and harvest it, you just can't find it. I imagine here in the Willamette Basin, if I knew somebody that lived right along the river where the alder trees grow, I could probably wander through the forest and find some beginning to deteriorate alder log and cut it up and be able to use that. But you just kind of have to go get it fresh, because if you bring it home and store it, then it dries out and it flares much faster than the alder chips you put to soak. But anyhow, it's just little tips and tricks of the trade of people who ran smokehouses that I used to know. And I know some people that still do it. But the commercial smoking places have gone to the very dry alder. It's just the people at home that do it at their home smoker or something of that sort that still go out and find the slightly punky alder. And it definitely has a different flavor, which I like. But I just have to go with the dry chips now.
Well, makes sense. Yeah.
But now you're going to be smoking this for not to the point of dryness and serving it cold with flakes. This is going to be I don't know. How are you?
I'm going to be salt and egg white curing it, and then smoking it for on toast points with sour cream and sour cream and capers and thinly sliced tomato, that kind of thing.
Okay, because one of the ways there's two ways to do it. One of them is the smoked salmon that you get when you drive past the roadside stands or something like that. It's fairly dry and it flakes apart.
Yeah.
It's great. And then there's the other one that I've done here where you put it in the smoker and basically it's... You could take a filet and put it in the oven and cook it and then serve it as a,
an entree.
Salmon kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, as the entree. And I've done those here as well as the, I guess I would call that a soft smoke as opposed to a hard smoke.
Yeah.
I.e. the fish is still soft, you eat it with a fork, whereas a hard smoke, it's... not jerky, but it's dried.
No, I've had that. It's like salmon candy.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then there's also the cold smoke, which is your lox, which is a whole nother thing.
Yes.
But it's fun playing with the smoker.
Oh, God, I love it. You know that. Yeah.
Let's see, what else? I guess that's... Well, my arugula has sprouted that I just planted the other day.
Oh, yum.
I finally got my tomatoes in the ground and my peppers in the ground and my wakatais in the ground. My peas are starting to show some flowers and I've got a couple of peas that I'm going to munch on before I come east. And I'm sure there's going to be a full harvest of snow peas when I get back.
God, I love those.
My wife is spoiled. She can never go to the store and buy snow peas because you go to the store, I don't care how good the store is, you pick them up and they're limp. But when you pick them at 4:30 in the afternoon and have them for dinner at 6:30, they're totally different. Just totally different. So... But I used to pick snow peas by the 5-gallon bucket, so anytime the wife wanted snow peas, I could always go find some, because you go down a row on one side, you pick everything you see, you turn around and come back the other way, and it doesn't even look like you picked them. So we always had plenty of snow peas. They were one of my money makers when I was selling at the market.
What all do you do with them?
Oh, what don't you do?
Anything you want, right, yeah.
Stir fries, the small ones you just mix in with your green salad. You steam them and then put a little butter and garlic salt on them. You just eat them raw. I used to graze just going down the row, and I think, what am I going to do next? And I'm just sitting there eating snow peas as I go down the row. They're just great.
That,
of course, the Chinese love them.
Oh, yeah. My grandmother used to fix them for me. She'd grow them in her garden up here. And she would, steam them and then just saute them just ever so briefly in a little bit of bacon grease. And little sugar and a little salt. And I love those things.
The variety I grow are the Oregon Sugar Pod 2s. And they don't need any sugar on them. They are sweet. But I've never sauteed them in bacon grease. Never done that. Well, we've been eating a fair amount of asparagus. Never can get enough to start making my Bloody Mary stir sticks. But I'm definitely having asparagus 2-3 times a week now. I marinate them with some Italian dressing and then lightly toast them on the barbecue. And those are really nice.
Oh, that just sounds damned yummy.
Yeah, you just need, your regular old good seasons or whatever, the packet you buy at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Mix it with oil and vinegar and water, and just marinate the fresh asparagus for anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours, and then just pull them out, drain them off kind of nice, and put them on the barbecue, and get them hot, and that way they're hot. The Italian dressing flavor with the asparagus, and they're still crunchy. Don't cook them to death. Just get them hot all the way through.
I don't know how scheduling's going to work out, but I'm hoping maybe Saturday. Of course, everything is in flux. We're still waiting on a baby.
Don't worry, Robin. The baby is going to show up at the absolute most inopportune time.
Shut up.
Starting the weekend's plans.
Shut up.
Babies are that way. They will screw up anything and everything you have planned.
Well, we're still waiting on one, but what I was going to say is that I'm hoping that maybe Saturday, I'm completely smitten with, this is funny, I have spent his young life teaching Ferg how to cook. And somewhere along the way, he learned how to do these blackened Brussels sprouts, and I'm like, well, show me what you're doing. No! They're his, damn it. His. And so I'm hoping that he'll be able to do some of his Brussels sprouts, because I can founder myself on them. I don't know what he uses to season. I mean, I can identify the individual seasonings and stuff, but I could never put together the mélange. And so I'm hoping that he'll maybe do a couple of big skilletfuls so folks can taste them. Because
wife has come up with a recipe of skilletized Brussels sprouts.
Well, it's the damnedest thing, because last weekend I had lunch with a girlfriend, and they had, and we were at Tamarack, and Tamarack has really good food. Their trout with the lemon brown butter is just for the ages. But they had, blackened Brussels sprouts, and I'm like, well, bring me those. Yes. Oh, Roger, they were like leather.
Hmm.
I mean, it wasn't quite that, that thing that people say about raw oysters, the longer you chew them, the bigger they get. You just couldn't chew them. I mean, I was grinding on those damn things like a mule grinding on the top of a fence post.
Somebody did something wrong, because if you do them right, they just melt in your mouth and are ever so tasty.
Oh, I love them. So I'm hoping he can do that, but it would be great if Lily would make her arrival, sometime soon.
But at the outset, the doc said that if she hasn't gotten here by the 6th, they're going to induce on the 6th.
Well, what's that? That's Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we will have all disappeared by then.
Yeah, but D-Day? Really? D-Day?
Well.
Because that means I'll have to nickname her D-Day.
Trials and tribulations of a grandparent.
Happy grandma.
Yeah.
So, but no, I think we're all going to have a really good time. And I'm looking forward to the in-person Friday on the front porch. I mean, a week from tonight, we will be doing Tech Willing and the Crick Don't Rise. We will be doing the first ever in-person Friday on the front porch. And I am so stoked.
Maybe by then I will have figured out my Bluetooth sound counseling headphones tied to my phone, and possibly if your internet connection isn't quite that solid, I could participate using the kids' data off my smartphone and save your bandwidth for people that need to be on their laptop or
we're all going to be sitting around the table with a microphone, and so that's the in person part, and then of course we'll bring in the front porch crowd, you know, via the group here.
Okay, so your idea isn't that we're all going to be individually on Skype off of your Wi-Fi. At the time, we'll just all be at the table and
yeah, we will literally be around an extraordinary, ordinary, well, it might be rectangular, but table. And everybody will hear everybody else. I've got Jax on the Rodecaster for three more sets of cans. We'll have a wireless mic and pass it back and forth when people want to talk, you know, kind of like the talking stick. And then we'll bring the rest of the Skype group in, you know, just via the channel that you're on now.
Don't worry about Lily getting born on the 6th, Robin. I mean, the only problem you'll have is if she wakes up and slaps someone first thing like General Patton used to do, then you got a problem.
Ah, you're awful. Is this one of those awkward silences?
Well, I figured I'd drop out since Jeremy decided to jump in.
Yeah, go Jeremy. Oh, and by the way, we have 365 to go on the two challenges, and we are about a little over halfway through the program. So, just mentioning. Yeah, somebody jump in. I'm tired of hearing my own voice. I've been talking a lot for the last week, it feels like. Although last night it got pretty vibrant, and I like that. I had a note, I want to share. It came in from Jude. You share the deepest depth of your inner reality. Robin, dear, many are selfishly selective in what they will allow themselves to hear and will not step out even for a brief moment in time. We are collections of strength, weakness, the intuitive, with a full range of human emotions. Our commitment is focused on the understanding that our differences are pillars that sustain us during times such as this. You're valuable on myriad levels, one being your courage. Thank you again for allowing me the space to release such sorrow yesterday. Oh, Jude, there are no thanks needed, dear. No thanks needed. Y'all will get a kick out of this.
Major victory in Georgia. Congratulations to Herschel Walker. He recently won the Senate primary in Georgia to be the next Republican senator. He's a great friend and patriot and had my total and complete endorsement. I'm looking forward to help him unseat radical leftist Raphael Warnock.
Oh, please.
Well, maybe he can get the police to watch little boys who watch girls' social medias to stop shootings. I don't know. Maybe that is a thing. I just don't understand.
I've been trying to sort that clip out for a day now, and I'm still... It's just a total loss.
I have... There's a place that's nationwide. It's called Get Air. You know, you jump into, like, sponge pits and stuff and
yeah.
Do crazy things. Well, we have a franchise of it here. And it turns out there are high schoolers here that were not just harassing, but sexually harassing up under, down to 12-year-olds.
Oh, the Jesus.
The staff was told about it, and the staff did diddly shit about it.
Oh, of course.
The parents got involved. They got the police involved, and the police said they haven't been in touch with someone that owns the building or runs it for 2 months now. And when they call the number listed as business number, it connects to a hotel.
The hell?
So I kind of asked my mom, I was like, can they just shut the place down? Do they have the authority to do that until they figure something out, until they get some answers? I mean, high schoolers sexually harassing 12-year-olds? Come on.
Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you? Kind of quiet tonight.
Robin, how you doing? It's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. How are you? How's Tracy?
Very good. We're almost ready to sit down and eat in a minute, but I just thought I'd chime in real quick.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, thank you. yeah, it's been a crazy like week and a half with all these things going on, huh?
I'm exhausted. I confess it's going to be kind of therapeutic to just be out puttering around in the yard and getting the smoker going and...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got a roast going? Pork or...
Oh, no, I'm cooking for the horn in.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I'm not going to be able to make that.
Yeah, I wish y'all could.
I can't get the time off to go down... Turns out. So.
Oh, it's a hike from where you are.
Yeah. Well, I would have drove down. It would have been nothing. I mean, from here, Western Mass to West Virginia, I could have made it. About a half a day, but you know, what, 10 hours probably. But
nah, it's a whole day's drive. I mean, one of my best friends is from down in the Coal River Valley, and you know, he was living up at Ipswich for a while.
And he would
come down to visit family, and he said if he really road warriored it, he could do it in a day, but he'd be two days getting over it.
Yeah, I hear you there. Yeah, too much of a.
Because it's a matter of, you know, when you look at the routes, it's the devil or the deep blue sea. You can go the most direct route, but then you're going through New York City. And it's just a traffic nightmare. Or you can go up a little further west.
Through Pennsylvania.
Yeah, through Pennsylvania, and then jog east, you know, through upstate New York and into Mass.
Yeah. it's just been, I just hope that, I wonder if they didn't go in that. I was thinking about why those cops didn't go in there right away, or not right away. Jesus, they waited almost an hour, right?
Yeah, yeah, they waited. Yeah, and during that hour, the cops outside were pepper spraying and handcuffing the parents who were listening to their children die. Those fuckers.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, Kevin, it's evil.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, the cops heard the shooting, too.
I don't know. I have no explanation as to why they did that, but... Maybe because they didn't look like them. I don't know. There I go. I
well, how about this? Well, how about the part about how when they did breach the building, they yelled out, "Yell help if you need it." When they did, the suspect immediately shot one of the girls that yelled at help, one of the only surviving girls in the classroom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I'll check back in with you guys in a little while.
Do okay? Please, and just one last thing. What's for dinner?
What's for dinner? Tracy will tell you.
Pot roast.
Oh, Tracy, I know you make a mean, mean pot roast. I know you do.
It's melting your mouth. It's not summertime food, but hell, we had to use it.
Yeah.
I bought the roast over the wintertime in the freezer, and I noticed it's in the freezer, and I just took it out the other day. Little small truck.
Oh, that'll fall apart at the mere thought of being touched by a fork.
And some homemade bread to go with it, and some homemade hash browns. She took pictures, or she's probably putting them on Facebook right now. So.
Oh, good. I do love my food porn.
You can get a live food.
Oh, I love food porn.
And there will be a lot of food porn photos in the coming week.
Nice.
Yeah, well, too bad we can't be there, but.
Well, you know, if this is a success, we'll do it again.
Yeah, we'll try to make it for next year, yeah. Whatever, you know.
And, you know, who knows, I may be even better at it by the next time, you know. I really wanted to do cabins. But they have shot up with the national park status. They have mm-hmm. the cost of the cabins has gone through the roof.
That's ridiculous.
I looked at cabins, enough to have space for everybody who was coming. It was upwards of $6,000. So
$6,000.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. And one of the places, you can't even rent them unless you also book an adventure. You know, like
my life is an adventure. I don't need more.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, you know, they got like zip lines and you can take a whitewater rafting trip, that kind of thing. But that would eat up an entire day.
Yeah, that's right.
Although I was thinking about it the other night, and it, there may be some people who show up for the Horn Inn who would like to go. There's a pilot who does flights over the gorge in his 1943 Boeing Stearman. You know, open cockpit biplane.
Yeah. Oh wow, I love those.
And he's very, very good, very accomplished. Ferg's been up. I haven't, but they for the adventuresome, he does aerobatics over the gorge. Like hammerhead stalls.
Yep.
And he does Immelmann's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the 43 Boeing Stearman was actually a trainer for pilots who would go on to fly things like F-6F Hellcats and F-4U Corsairs, P-51 Mustangs, P-47 Thunderbolts. I love World War II birds. I was obsessed with them when I was a kid.
Yeah, we have the Bradley Air Museum here at Bradley International Airport.
Oh, I bet that's really cool. But I'm into your dinner now. So y'all go eat and enjoy, and I will be envious.
All right, Robin, I'll catch up with you guys later.
All right, see you, Kevin. See you, Tracy.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. You too.
Yep.
And just got a contribution, $315 to go on the challenges, in the name of the women of our Horn community. So thank you, anonymous friend, thank you. Is everybody hungover this evening or what? It's very quiet. It is interesting that...
I resent that. I resent that. I want my as the right honorable representative from Give a Fuck in the half-ass district, I must protest. Vehemently, sir. Vehemently.
In the strongest possible terms.
Ah, the secretary for is out of order. Which reminds me, the plumbing's out of order. Give me a wrench. Oh. Hello, folks. I overslept. I was up late watching classic TV content on my screen. Oh, dear.
Anyway. Well, but...
Hi, folks.
At least you were not subsumed in... I think we're all trying to figure out a way, and it's not for want of caring. We are fatigued, traumatized. I mean, I went looking for things to watch last night too.
You know, there's a classic term that one of the writers, maybe Hemingway, used. About being stronger in the broken places. And lately, there have been so many broken places. We're like a dish or a bowl or something that has been under great pressure, and it's showing up in the molecules of the thing, and you know, it's really. I don't know how. Now, see, here's the weird thing about it. The people who want to say, move along, folks, nothing to see here. Everything is just right as rain and tickety-boo. On some level, as human beings, I mean, unless they're totally soulless and mindless and heartless, on some level, this affects them in just as intense a way. But... there's something about them either not acknowledging it or denying it or not fully seeing it with honest eyes that they're setting themselves up for deeper problems, you know, mentally and physically and spiritually, if you go that way. And I don't know. I think we are the healthier lot. Simply because we're reality-based reality folks, by and large. Discuss while I go get my coffee.
Well, I think Scott's right. Somebody want to help? Anybody? Please jump in.
Well, I've been getting back into the Facebook thing with these fucking maggots that I've been fighting with for years, and I have taken the gloves off, and I am being totally, absolutely blunt, and that there is absolutely no reason for any weapon of war to be in the hands of anybody. And I went through a big rant day before, and my question was, and nobody's been able to answer it, this kid, 18 years old, high school dropout, mother has a drug problem, is being evicted from the house that she lives in, which is owned by her mother, and this kid was living with the grandparents. How, and I've got friends that have bought AK and AR type weapons, and they have had to save money for a fair amount of time to be able to deal with things and buy them, because they ain't cheap. Now, how in the hell did this kid, 3 or 4 days after his 18th birthday, come up with the money to buy not one, but two of them, and then get the high-capacity magazines that he apparently had, and he went back and bought 300 rounds of ammunition? Where the fuck did the money come from to do that? Come on, folks. Get a grip. He was either his mother's drug dealer, or he stole it from his grandparents, or something.
He was working at Wendy's.
He was working at Wendy's. I'm sorry, working at Wendy's does not give you enough money to buy two AR-15s or whatevers. Those fuckers are around $1,400 a piece.
Well, hold up.
And
hold on. I don't know the brand name on these AR style rifles. But we don't know how long this was in the planning stage, Roger. And I will offer up at least some portion of a hypothesis. We know from a kid who was interviewed who was his best friend in eighth grade that he was being bullied all the way back then and had gotten into cutting himself. The kid in his eighth grade buddy said that he showed up one day at school with cuts all over his face, and he said, "What the hell happened to you?" And Ramos said, "Oh, I got into it with the cat." And his buddy said, "That's bullshit. What happened?" He said, "Well, I'm cutting myself." And he responded, "Dude, that's fucked up." But he was being bullied to hell and back all the way back then. So that's 4 years of high school, and he's a dropout, sure, okay. But that's a total of 5 years at least of torment. You can save some money, and as to the cost of the weapons, you'd be surprised what $400 will buy you now. These you know, if you buy something like a Sig Sauer, or you know one of the really respectable, yeah, they're $1,200-1,400 bucks. Spend as much as you want. But there are lower grades and lower brands that you can get. You know, I could probably leave here, drive 30 minutes to Beckley, and have an AR in my hot little hands for less than $500.
How about this, though? And this is going to sound like a joke, but I don't mean it as a joke. I don't know if the kid went to the school library or wherever and read gun magazines, you know, and the people that make these things and the other equipment associated with them and the doodads and hee-haws, they could have had and I'm going to say it again, this is not a joke, a BOGO sort of deal for first-time buyers, buy one, get one at half price or whatever. There's any number of ways that the gun manufacturers will use, if they're so inclined, and by any evidence I've seen over life, they are so inclined to get their product and doodad into the hands of as many. It's like the tobacco companies. They said it all along that they didn't want to get kids to smoke. But if their regular customers are dying off over time, you've got to replace your inventory. And by inventory, I mean people
victims.
Who like to kill. Victims, yes. Now, that's not a joke. Is there any credence to that? I mean, anything's possible when you're dealing with the gun people. You know?
Absolutely.
Did you put something in the coffee over there in the corner on the back table with the donuts? The group seems really sedate.
I've been noticing that, and we're almost at the beginning of the. Now, what'll happen is something will get us going. Yeah. And this we will be an absolute goddamn free for all at 5 minutes till eight.
Oh yeah, it'll be a Three Stooges pie fight there toward the end.
And for anybody, so like I said, we're down to $315 to go on the challenges. $300 of the challenge is the 2-for-1 horny horn-in challenge, and then Baldmer Bob put forward a $100 challenge in honor of Jamie McLeod Skinner's primary victory over Kurt Schrader in Oregon. And those two things taken together, well, we'll still have a little bit of a deficit, but it won't be nearly as bad. And then, of course, the first three programs of June will not exist. Well, no, Friday on the Front Porch will exist. But the first two programs of June will be probably non-existent because I'm going to be working my skinny little girl tail off. And the tail part is the skinny part, and the rest of it, no.
But no, I wanted. So I had no idea. If you were of a certain age, you might remember the 45 RPM version of American Pie.
Oh, yeah.
You had to, the whole song took both sides of the 45.
That's like 8 minutes and eight plus minutes.
Oh, right? Yeah, yeah. Well, the National Ruble Association booked Don McLean, 76 years old, to come to their convention in Houston and play American Pie for them. To his credit, okay, not to his credit, he took the gig, but he's 76, and, you know, gig's a gig. But to his credit, after Uvalde, he bailed and canceled. He said it would be hurtful and disrespectful for him to appear and sing that song. Singing this will be the day that I die. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's the genius at NRA that thought that would be a great thing anyway? This may be the 50th anniversary of American Pie. But he said, nope, won't do it.
Yeah, but don't forget the Chevy to the levee.
But the levee was dry. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you write the Book of Love, and do you have faith in God above, if the Bible tells you so? And do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Well, I know that you're in love with him because I saw you dancing in the gym. You both kicked off your shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage bronkin' buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck, but I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. Oh, Jesus, why is that still in my brain? Because I was a DJ, and I played it and played it and played it and played it as an oldie. Because that was...
Just fuck you. Get on your horse. And ride off and get a cooper from the fuck you people. When you were DJ.
Wait a minute.
I was a young person. Kiss my ass. I'm just kidding with you.
No, I get it. But, you know, first time I heard it, I just loved the song and had no idea what it was about. And then as you figure it out and you get old, you know, because, you know, the people that it was written for knew everything. You know, I was nine.
Senior in high school, or maybe a junior, because I think it was released in 71. I think. It's been a long time. But it was big in 72. I remember that. You know that this year it's been 50, it'll be 50 years next month since I was ejected from high school of my own volition and got to dress up in a robe and a funny hat, and they handed me some paper with it was laminated or whatever, and I said, my God, who would have thought this might happen? Somewhere I've got the picture of me in my cap and gown. I look like a and the hair. Do you remember how the hair was in the 70s? People, I mean, we were crazy. They talk about weird hairstyles today. We were. No wonder the older folks of the time were scared shitless of those crazy youngsters.
Oh. Well, anyway, he bailed. Don McLean bailed.
Good for him.
Maybe. I don't know, maybe the NRA said, well, Don, you don't have to play American Pie. You could play Starry Night. Oh, there's a nice one. I wept away my little trans teenage years listening to that tear fest. Daniel Defense manufactured the rifle. What's that noise? What's that background noise I keep hearing?
It's Kevin's. It's Kevin's translator, the Kevin and the Blind or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Everyone else is saying back. If someone can mute it now, we don't have to hear it.
It's Mitch McConnell brushing up for his big speech.
So Daniel Defense said they're not showing up at the NRA convention due to the horrifying tragedy. Even the company that manufactured the gun that slaughtered 19 children and two teachers... said, no, the optics are bad on this one. Texas Governor Greg Asbot said, I was gonna be there, but like, you know, I gotta wash my hair. So instead, he's gonna hold a press conference, and he will appear by pre-recorded video. I mean, he's still got to be there. I mean, come on.
And a fundraiser.
Yeah, and a fundraiser. So they're not showing. He's not showing. But guess who is?
Well, Trump's going to phone it in, isn't he? Or is he
I'm making a speech tomorrow at the NRA in Houston, and it'll be very interesting. And so, yeah, interesting time to be making such a speech, frankly. But on Friday night, I'll be in Houston.
He's going to be there in person, and the Secret Service is banning all weapons. I'll see if I can find the...
Oh, Roger, hold on. The Secret Service or no Secret Service, every NRA National Convention bans firearms in the hall.
But, yes, I agree that this has been ongoing for quite some time, but this latest one, they are now blaming it on the Secret Service, that because the Secret Service won't allow, that is why they're not doing it, because of the speakers they have. Out of the fact that they have banned weapons on the floor for years. Yeah.
Well, you know, on the day before the Ides of March, 44 BC, Caesar dismissed his lictors. And so he walked unprotected through the Forum all the way out to the Campus Martius, to the Theater of Pompey, and the little temple there to Venus Victrix, where he was murdered. So, not that I think that COVID Caligula's got enough nerve to dismiss the... Not,
you guys can just leave, but it's this thing. This is what he said.
This just makes a little hair stand up on the back of my neck.
On Friday night, I'll be in Houston, and we'll be making a speech and discussing a lot of the things which you would agree to, and, you know, you have to protect your Second Amendment. You have to give that Second Amendment great protection, because without it, we would be a very dangerous country, frankly.
Hey, Robin, who sang that song, I'm going to Houston, Houston, Houston?
I don't know, but,
Houston. I think Dean Martin had a cover of
Dean, it. Is that Dean Martin? Yeah, I think it.
Well, during the Iraq War, I remember, who is it?
Green.
Real leftist. Copperhead Road. God, where did...
Steve Earle,
thank you. Steve Earle had a great song in the early part of the century called If I Ever Get Home to Houston.
I've heard a rumor, and it's just a rumor, mind you, but they're also banning tomatoes, bananas, pineapples, and oranges because they're dangerous fruits. You could kill someone with one of those. Trump said it himself.
Yeah. Shoes? No, they only ban shoes at Bush beaches. Well, that one fell over flat.
With the pineapples, I mean, in next life, down there with Rush and the rest of them, he's going to have his pick of pineapples. And he'll think he died and went to the Dole factory. And
I swear I am going to put out a fruit plate and for the Hornet. I'm going to put out a fruit plate, and I'm going to have pineapples on it. And I'm going to have pineapple chunks on it. And I'm going to see how many people eat them.
We don't know where they've been.
Right? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, you said something about Julius Caesar, and I don't mean to go in the gutter, but you used a word that I'd never heard before.
Lictors?
Lictor, I hardly knew her. No.
The minute I said lictors, that was your fucking cue, Scott.
But what was the, my cues are in the cellophane getting dry. I dropped water on them earlier, and it's just a mess all around. What is a lictor?
I'm going to give you your own show.
Yes, I thought public opinion would finally come together and they'd come to their senses and see that the voice of the people, especially this here person, needs to be heard on a more wider scale. Now, give me my medications and let me rest. Okay, so you just shuffle. I see that door over there? Walk through that. But what is a lictor? Honest to God, I've never heard that
Okay, the lictors were, depending on how far you were up the pecking order in ancient Rome, you had bodyguards. And the more powerful you are, the more powerful you were, the more bodyguards you had. And the bodyguards were called lictors, and they carried the fasces.
The what?
The fasces, which was a bundle of rods with an axe in the middle.
Oh, like on the dollar bill, I've seen that.
The fasces, from which we get the word, come on, fascist.
Oh, that's right, yes, yes. It's all coming to me.
Yeah. Well, would y'all please do me the kindness of talking amongst yourselves for a minute? I need to disappear for a second. Somebody's going to have to carry the weight of this, or it's going to be silence.
Well, somebody jump in.
Rutabaga.
Not helping, Roger. Peas and carrots. Carrots and peas. You tie my tie, I tie your shoe. You tie your shoe, I tie my tie.
Snow peas. Asparagus, arugula, this broccoli, cauliflower.
Atlas.
The group has lost its
Hey, Ben.
Mind.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I'll be back in a minute. Please, talk amongst yourselves.
All righty.
Down the hall and to the left.
I don't know. I put out a post the other day on Facebook in a comment that I have finally figured out why we have churches. And the reason we have churches is we have people that recognize the fact that they are absolutely delusional in the belief of a sky god, and they know that they have a problem with that, but they are so desirous of being validated in their delusions that they have created an organization so they can associate with people that have the same delusion. And that the remarkable fact of the numbers of churches that we have simply shows the number of variations of the delusions. I mean, we've got Muslims, and we've got several sects in Muslims. And then we have Christianity that has the Catholic and Protestant as general divisions. And then in the Protestant, my God, there are so many of them that it's hard to keep track. And yet they are all insane and simply banding together to validate their insanity. And what's remarkable is the conversation thread that I posted that on some 36 or so hours ago, not a single person, and this was done on a conservative friend's page, not a single person has taken me to task over that comment. And I find that to be absolutely remarkable. Did I really hit a nerve, or was I just daydreaming?
Well, how can you defend it without, if you are a believer of that sort, any of the 31,000 flavors of religious denominations as there are, if someone's having a serious conversation and you cannot resort to name calling or insulting or whatever, how do you defend your belief? Because there's no tangible proof of any of it. I mean, in terms of that these entities in the sky truly exist. And maybe it could be the other thing I was talking about. On some level, people know how deluded or delusional they are. And it's like children. They don't want to admit that they, pulled the kitty's tail or shaved the dog's foot or whatever. The kids want to hide their naughtiness or their lack of judgment.
This is what I was thinking, because what prompted it was a comment about Roger doesn't believe in the Bible and thinks that it's the religious nutcases that are all our problems. And I mean, so this particular individual realizes that there are religious nutcases. But she's also a Mormon, and I put into that thing that I also don't believe in the fact that somebody got some magic glasses and came down
and discovered that Jesus Christ walked the face of North America. And that is a tenet of the Mormon Church. Mm-hmm. So
he showed his holy hands and natives.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a lot more than that.
They told him to cover his eyes. We can still see out of them, unfortunately. You know how it goes.
Yeah. Well, and then I also threw in the shot of the number of, I have to go out and convert people to my way. I have to go out and convert an unknown number of people to my faith to get into heaven, which doesn't have enough spaces in it for all the members of my church. And that's a shot at the Jehovah's Witnesses.
I see the religion a lot like the Borg. You must assimilate. You know, and it's just this crazy recruiting thing, and it's nuts. I mean, that's really what the whole abortion issue is about, right?
Yeah, but then I think the guy that went out to North Sentinel Island or something to commune with the folks that don't want to meet up with anybody clearly went to his just rewards. They ate him. As near as can be figured out.
Well, you can't boil him. He's a fryer.
Yeah. No, anyway. Well, what I don't understand is why do they seem to think that, okay, I was talking about this last night in our Blue Dot group. One thing that the religious right does not follow is their goddamn Ten Commandments.
Oh, no, that's for everybody else. By the way, thank you for your forbearance.
Well, we were praying for you, Sister Robin.
You don't know how badly it was needed.
We were holding you up to the Lord, saying, Lord,
lifting me up in prayer.
Let there be paper on the roll, dear Lord.
Ben, technically you just broke one of the commandments. You said, God damn, you used his name in vain. You're going to hell. You're going to be with me.
That does not constitute using the Lord's name in vain.
Let there be soap in the dish. Let the towels be clean, dear God.
So, Robin, I wanted to go back to something you said about the NRA and, you know, their little get-togethers. And why are they so hell-bent on everybody everywhere else in America having Feed'em, but there's no Feed'em allowed in the NRA gatherings?
Because they know their membership is crazier than a sprayed roach at a goddamn raid rave.
No Feed'em allowed. Maybe they need to put a sign up.
Well, I mean, if anybody knows their membership, the leadership of the NRA does, and they don't want to be near any one of those motherfuckers with a gun in their hands.
Well, we've said this a million times. How many of those fucking nutcase maggots would be allowed in Mar-a-Lago? Zero.
Yeah, that's none.
Well, you know, who was it that, Phil Proctor, a former member of the fire. Destroy you. Dear God, we're doomed.
Oh, man. Maybe that was Mitch McConnell.
Philip Proctor, who was in the Fire Sign Theater, those of you old enough will remember who they were and what they did.
I'm not that old.
A bunch of children, babies. President Clinton came to Oklahoma City to console the survivors and the families of the victims, friends of the victims, and the people of Oklahoma City. And along the way, he mentioned the mindset of those who would do mass murder, okay, and kill children and innocent people who are just doing their work on a workaday day, you know, in a workaday world. And I sent a letter to the editor, agreeing with what the president said. I lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the time. Okay, this is in 1995.
Oh, I bet you started a shitstorm.
Well, this story may ring a bell, but I swear to you, it's absolutely true. I wrote a letter to the Tulsa World, I think was the name of the daily paper, and to the Daily Oklahoman, which had statewide coverage. And I said basically that nobody's trying to take anybody's guns away, and I even proved it mathematically with a handheld calculator. And I figured out at the time there were 300 million guns in the hands of private citizens. And even if this mysterious, nefarious they were to be intent upon rounding up the guns in this great gun roundup, even if they took 100 guns a minute, it would take over 95 years to gather up all the guns. And that would assume that there was such a plan, that people with the guns weren't shooting at the people who were interloping, and that everybody had convenient places to park. And I said this in the letter. I said a 4-year-old child armed with a hand calculator can figure out what lunacy this is. They're not taking. Well, a couple of days later, I walk out to get the mail out on the front porch where the mailbox is, and there's a manila envelope on the porch, leaning up on its end next to one of the posts holding up the roof of the porch. And I said, well, what is this? So fool that I was, I picked it up, opened it, and it was crammed with printed material from the KKK, the Nazis, the other assorted wing nuts. There was a group, a local group, run by the Mahon, M-A-H-O-N family, just north of Tulsa, who were big in this world of mad ideas. Well, anyway, I called my brother, who at the time worked at Secret Service, and I said, should I report this to someone? Because it unnerved me, which was their point. And he said, no, they were just trying to show you their contempt for you because your letters got written in two newspapers and they can't get published anywhere in with their mad rants. So 1995 is how many years ago? 27? 1995, we had 300 million guns in the hands of private citizens. Today, we have 400 million. So I would say we've not addressed the problem at all. Plus, people are crazier now than they were then.
I'm not sure people are crazier. It's just that those people who are crazy have been given more latitude to expose their craziness to the public.
And to act up and act out.
Yeah, because living in Northern California, I know we've had crazy people around. When I worked in the woods, there were a bunch of crazy people. But the fact was they were their own little group and they kind of kept it hidden. Now they're running around displaying it for everybody. I saw a pickup truck drive through Creswell, Oregon, just the other day, one of those high lifted, the exhaust pipes like a big truck coming up in front of the bed.
Oh, was he rolling coal? Pickups.
Yeah, well, he wasn't rolling coal, but he had two flags attached to the bed of the truck. One of them was a Trump 2024, and the other one was a fuck Biden flags driving down the street. That kind of attitude existed back when I was working in the woods, back in the mid-1970s, because I quit the woods in 76. And those people were there, but they didn't display it because they knew they were in a small minority. Now they're driving around in public, up and down the public streets, because the silent majority has come alive and we are the majority, you know. Fuck them people. And yet there's enough of them and they've discovered they're all there. But yet if I express my views, I tend to be subdued, and my wife is always telling me to shut up when we're in certain places. But we have been bullied down to where we cannot walk up to somebody that has a Let's Go Brandon t-shirt on and tell them, you're fucked up. We have been silenced. We have been shut down. And these let's go, Brandon, fuck Biden, Trump 24 people are truly a minority. Unfortunately, they vote as a block unthinkingly and have taken over positions from the school board on up because they stick together. And we need to stomp them out.
You stepped on, you know, it's not reciprocal, right? I was taught as a young agnostic by my parents in our household, it's all horseshit. Now, maybe my mom was like, she left the door open. My dad went to seminary, and he at the last year, he said, God, I've been wasted 4 years of my fucking life. This is fucking horseshit. And so but I was always raised, and there were a couple times when I made fun of religion in front of people, and my dad chastised the shit out of me. He said, you must just keep your mouth shut around other people when it comes to this. And you know, we've been cowed. Absolutely. And he says, you have to respect other people's beliefs. But the problem is, it's not reciprocal to us. And now they're beating the fuck out of all of us with their belief system. And it's taken down the entire country.
Well, you know, Roger and Christopher, I agree with you both. It's a question, though, of how much we have been cowed and how much we have self-censored. But just by further example of what you're talking about, not even probably a mile up the road from me, there's a Christian household, and in the front yard, there's a big banner that says, fuck Joe Biden. And over in Beckley, a Republican just won his primary by the name of Brandon Steele, and he is a dickhead among dickheads. I mean, he can make other Republicans cringe. Okay.
He makes dickheads look small in comparison. Is that
what he can make other Republicans cringe? You know what his campaign slogan was? You know what was on his billboards? Let's go, Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's only going to get half the possible customer base, so fuck him.
He was running for office.
Oh, he's running. Well, but you said it was outside his business?
No, just a billboard in Beckley.
Oh, okay.
What office was he running for?
House of Delegates. And he will win.
Unfortunate. I mean, I know they're out there, but one of the things that I've also been thinking about is we know that the right wing of this country has been attempting to demolish public education for a long time.
That's the grand dream. Yes.
And we can go back to Bennett, I believe was the education secretary under Reagan, and Betsy DeVos was another good case. But with this AR-15 pandemic that we are in, we are now creating a setup where people are advocating they take their kids out of public school to keep them safe and homeschool them. This whole shit starts to make sense if you stop to think that if you want to destroy public education, you create a situation where nobody wants to go teach in it, low pay and overworked and all the rest of that was a good start. And now
killing
they're
with COVID.
Wanting
that helps.
Now, you know, killing with COVID helps. But now they're wanting to say the cops aren't brave enough to come into your classroom to stop a shooter, but we want you and the lunch lady to be packing heat to, quote, protect the kids, but we're not going to pay you any more money. But you get the parents to take their kids out of schools, and most schools are funded on a per capita attendance number. In California, it's called average daily attendance, ADA. And that's why they work to get kids to come to school, because if a kid's not in school, the school district doesn't get any money that day, but yet they still have to staff as if they had full classes. So you've got a situation here where advocating for all these guns, and schools happen to be the one of the most popular places to do carnage, and then you overwork the teachers, you underpay them, you are doing anything and everything in this entire situation to destroy public education. So the NRA and the rest of those folks, they don't want to let the gun ban go into effect because it would destroy their assault on public education.
Yeah, I mean, that's some good...
Yeah, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. And you know, you trust me to pack heat in my classroom, but you don't trust me to generate problems for the students to solve with the word problems, but I have to use a textbook that you have chosen because of the ideology in the textbook, not because of the subject matter in the textbook, that I as an English teacher can no longer choose what the children should read in my class to talk about how certain authors develop the plot in the novel. But you want me to pack heat. Why should I even go to fucking work? So they've created a teacher shortage. They've created a student shortage. They've created a hostile work environment. And it's all designed to destroy public education, which Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and the rest of our, quote, founding fathers, unquote, were adamant about we needed an educated electorate in order to preserve our experiment in self-governance. And it's, yep. It's just truly frustrating to me.
We're not an intelligent nation anymore. Not by a long shot.
No. Not.
That's true, as long as they weren't black or women or any combination of the two. That's who they didn't want to educate.
I think it's even deeper than that. I don't think Betsy DeVos wants a public school system.
None of them do.
Hell no.
Remember,
hell
one no. of their Roger. Remember one of their fetish objects from way back. Yeah, before there were maggots, before there were the teabaggers, was to eliminate the U.S. Department of Education.
Yeah, and that is a goal. And if the goal of destroying public education can be seen as the key here, virtually everything they've done that's surrounding this latest atrocity in Texas and Sandy Hook and all the rest of them, the more of those that occur, the closer they are to ending public education in this country.
Well, Jerry Falwell said it out loud way back before he went to hell. He said education needs to be taken out of the hands of government and given back to the churches where it belongs.
Ugh.
I have a question, though, about the Department of Education. At one time, the agency was a larger agency, and it was the Department of HEW, Health, Education, and Welfare. When did they move education off into its own entity? And it, was it part of the intention to make it be a standalone thing so they could kill it off easier? Or when was it, and what were they up to?
Oh, Scott, let me interrupt for just a second because Darlene in Connecticut has awarded you a cowbell.
Uh-oh.
And that's for, let there be paper on the roll and soap in the dish, dear Lord. That's freaking hilarious. Scott deserves a few rings of the cowbell for that, so we'll... We'll add a couple in just for good measure. And Darlene says, I 100% agree with Roger. I was thinking the same thing all week. When was the last time a private school was shot up? What about a charter school? Just asking for a friend here.
Yeah, man, that's very, very observant.
Yeah.
By the way, Scott, answer to your question, October 17th, 1979. was when the Department of Education was created.
Now, who brought that in? Whose idea was it? Because in 79, Carter was president, and it wasn't
Jimmy
Joe
Carter
Califano,
was president.
The department head, Joe Califano. Or...
Well, you know, Roger, you mentioned Bennett, and this was the asshole who wrote the Book of Virtues. Remember? Was it Bill or Bob? There were two brothers. And one of them was head of education under, what, George H.W. Bush? And later on, he was caught, well, not caught, but found out to be a devotee of Las Vegas. Nothing wrong with that. But he preferred to, as a high roller, have his own video machine brought to his room where he would sit and play it naked. This was the virtue guy. Remember that story?
Yeah, I remember you telling that story a while back.
I mean, that was years and years and years ago, back early part of this century.
The other people in the casino saw him once in the casino playing naked, and they said no.
No, please, give him his own machine in his room.
Didn't come all his way to lose the house.
Can you pull my handle?
So, yeah. So if he yanked the lever more than once, is he considered playing with it?
It's his machine. He can yank it as fast as he can, as he wants.
I bet when it spit out coin, it really spit out some coin.
Climbing out of the gutter a little bit.
Don't even try, Roger. It's a with this bunch. It's a lost cause.
Apparently, the origins of the Department of Education date back to 1867, when Andrew Johnson signed legislation creating the first Department of Education, and it was to collect information and statistics about the nation's schools. But I do feel that Jimmy Carter created it to give it its own cabinet-level presence to push for education. Jimmy Carter was definitely a pro-education president, and my understanding was that he wanted to see education in this country be pushed in much the same way that after Sputnik went up, there was a desire for what now is called STEM education, and that Jimmy Carter wanted to have somebody involved in looking at improving our education. And the Republicans have used that office to destroy education.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that.
Absolutely. And I need to share a couple of things. Thank you to Kevin and Tracy. They've gotten us down to $215 to go on the challenges this evening. We have 23 minutes to come up with $215 so that both of the challenges will be met. Thank you so much to Balmer Bob and to our anonymous friend for the Horny Horn-In Challenge. Oh, dear. $215 in 22 minutes completes us on both those challenges. And, gosh, that'll get us down from 1180 to like 380 to go, so that's only one unfunded day, so that's cool.
Did you guys hear what happened last night in Cincinnati, Ohio?
What's that?
There was another, it wasn't a mass shooting, but there was another shooting at a Walmart Supercenter.
Oh, God. Well, the gunfight in northern West Virginia last night started in Walmart. Let me share this. Ron in Raleigh says, Roger's correct. Christopher Rufo is the liar that started all the phony bullshit about CRT, has stated that his next efforts are to get universal vouchers in all states, just like universal concealed carry being pushed by the NRA. And after that, there's no more public school system. It's just that simple. How long, Matt in San Francisco asks, how long until the next school shooting? Only this time the parents show up with their assault weapons and either engage with the cops trying to stop them from entering, or a firefight starts between a parent and the cops who think, well, that guy with the AR-15 must be the active shooter, so let's stop them. I think they want mayhem so folks will vote for the next daddy strongman who can save them from the madness that the Republicans created. Am I being paranoid, or does this make sense? It's been a tough week. I'm starting to question my sanity. Well, Matt, only sane people question their sanity.
Robin,
yeah,
speaking of daddy, it isn't quite front of the front porch unless you share a creepy email or two.
Oh, God, I can't even begin to now.
One of those? Oh, Jesus.
I can't go to the dirty place.
Civil War.
It'll lift our spirits on the hill, I guarantee it will.
Well, I mean, I'll just say this. So, I'm on some dating sites. You know, just kind of getting out there. And it says very clearly, post-op trans woman. Because I'm trying to eliminate the questions. As I told Sparky at the beginning of the front porch, they don't read. So immediately, you know, I know other girls like me who've gotten this, and you know, women generally. Guys are just nasty. And so I can't begin. I am drowning in a sea of unsolicited dick pics for starts. Sorry. I guess you know. NSFW, adult themes, and secondly, the number of times I've been, again, post-op trans woman, all caps, deck or no deck?
Post-op.
And still they write that, deck or no deck?
Stupid.
Oh.
Morons. They're total morons.
Oh, they have been. They are. Yes. And they'll just ask you straight up. You know, and I'm putting this as gently as I can. Tell me about your anatomy. What?
Oh, my God.
What? I added to my profile, hey, let's talk a little first before you send that first dick pic.
Boy, that's well, pretty...
now it's the
is that a banana in your? Is that an egg? You know, and you know the emoji that you know the eggplant emoji is what one uses for that. You know, is that an eggplant in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
The dick pic is the internationally recognized symbol. Nonverbal for hello in today's world. Hello.
Maybe somebody else's world, not my world.
Yeah. No. That goes back to the, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I've read it in class, and that the origin by which ancient contracts, like, you know, when you were selling your daughter to some dude in exchange for some camels and some goats and some sheep and some chicken, no pigs. What are we filing?
Oh, sorry, I forgot to mute. Stopped it.
Sounded like me doing my nails. Yeah. But in the ancient Levant, two guys making a deal to sell off a woman would seal the deal by grabbing each other's junk. And that was a means of showing, you know, if he's got yours and you've got his, then nobody's going to pull out a sword and shiv the other one. Yeah, I know.
Is that where the expression, let's shake on it, came from?
Yes, actually it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe that's what...
You know, until George Washington invented the custom of shaking hands. Well, you don't want to know how deals were.
Yeah,
and George Washington had a wooden one.
Well, that's
no, wait a minute. And George Washington had a wooden one. Yeah,
that just goes to show you right there,
Martha. There's a reason he didn't have any kids with Martha. Yeah.
But that response right there.
Splinters alone.
Yeah. That response that you got right there, Robin, that just goes to show you right there how fucked up our education system is already.
Oh, I've learned phrases I never even wanted to know. And I don't post dirty pictures or anything. That's not who I am. But, you know, I was so dismayed when I learned. I was so dismayed when I first heard, and you know, the younger set will know what I'm talking about. When I first heard the phrase "spank bank," that's when.
Don't Google that.
That's when That's when guys collect pictures of that girls have sent them of in various states of undress because guys do it and girls do it too. I'm like. Wow, when did this... We had, you know, the technology that we use for cell phones was developed because we went to the moon. Somebody go and, I don't know, whisper over the grave of Neil Armstrong. You know what they're doing with that technology, Neil? You wouldn't go to the moon if you knew.
Come on now, Robin. There's always been spank bank collections. No one kept their Playboys and Hustlers and Penthouse magazines and the fucking great articles. Come on.
Well, but you couldn't. They weren't exactly quite as portable as they are now.
Surely well, they were in the 1970s.
When I was going for my master's in information systems, every professor that I had would say, well, guess who's on the leading edge of all this new technology? Any kind of aspect of information technology.
Porn.
It was always porn.
Yeah.
Pornhub, always porn was the leader.
X-Hamster.
Yes.
That and it's not just...
G-Gerbil.
It's not
all
just...
All of it.
You
whatever
look at...
rodent of choice.
Anybody who remembers VCRs, they didn't catch on immediately. Home video recorders. Part of the problem was the two formats. You had your beta and you had your VHS. But one of the things that helped them catch on were porn tapes.
Sure. And there was the plastic shower curtain in your local independent movie rental place. And behind the shower curtain was, oh my, yeah. Oh, well, thank you, Jeremy. You got us down to 205 for bearing your soul literally. See what I've done here? Yeah, that's it. There's no hope for you, Jeremy. But
I guess that portable shower curtain wasn't big enough to hold back Pee Wee, was it?
No, poor Pee Wee. Oh. Now you're picking on Pee Wee.
Yeah, lay off.
Jeremy, oh my God, that's a low blow.
Okay, so we got some math here. This is going to be rough. A little note on probabilities. Suman, thank you. I did some back of the envelope math today. Just hear me out. There were 27 school shootings in 2022 so far, and we're not even halfway done. If we assume the trend continues, there will be 54 by the end of the year. There are about 100,000 public schools in the country, so the probability of a shooting in a school is 54 100,000ths. Expressed as a percentage, this is 0.054%. The probability that a child will get shot in school is 0.054. Google tells me that the probability of winning a lottery is 1 in 13,983,816, i.e. 0.000072%. You know what this means? 0.000072 divided by 0.054 equals 7,500. In other words, a kid is 7,500 more times likely to get fucking shot than win a lottery. It's completely nuts. One would actually imagine it's the other way around, but and maybe it is in the rest of the world, but not in America, the greatest country in the history of the world on Earth now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, amen.
Well, we're the country that most of the extreme right-wingers... Well, let me back that up. The extreme right wingers, because there's right wingers and there's extreme right wingers, and it's the extreme right wingers that are trying to fucking turn us into a shithole, and they pretty much are succeeding right now.
Well, and I think your right wingers, Ben, are falling by the wayside. They're still holding on for dear life, but I think that, well, I don't know what's going on in the primaries, to tell you the truth. I haven't been paying a lot of attention.
It's a mixed bag.
It's a 50-50 split, kind of, with the maggot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about this, because I was talking about this the other night, too, in our Discord group. I think that they planned these public hearings in June for a very strategic reason, because in June, I think there's more than a dozen states that have their primaries in June.
So it's a good chunk.
Yeah.
So they want, to start showing the evidence in full view of everybody. Well, I mean, the other thing has been everybody who watches Fox News isn't going to see any of those hearings, except for maybe Ted Cruz, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the two night hearings will be on all of the local channels, you know, and then the daytime hearings, if they're not available on their local channels, well, they'll be available on MSNBC, C-SPAN, and
CNN. CNN will carry it, I would assume.
But, yeah, if, you know, Fox News is already going to do a botched version of it.
They're going to do everything in their power to make keep that bubble impenetrable.
Yeah. Here's the deal, though. I think there's more, just generally speaking, I think there's going to be more interest and attention paid to these hearings, these sessions, than a lot of people are saying. Maybe the other side is fighting the validity of them so feverishly because they know, if they're going to be honest about it, that they screwed themselves, that January 6th was a bridge too far, a step too far. And I think there's a lot of people in this country who want to get to the bottom of this and want to find out just what exactly caused that to happen. Because most people, I mean, we're junkies when it comes to politics and the intricacies of everything. But most people are bopping along, just living their life and doing their thing. And when you see, I mean, Exhibit A in the madness was what unfolded on January 6th. And it wasn't at your just typical ordinary place. It didn't break out, you know, next to a football field.
It's
a
Piggly Wiggly or the Walmart. Yeah, Walmart.
Right. This was on the fucking steps of our seat of government in terms of
right.
one of
yeah.
our branches. And a lot of people are going to take more than a casual interest in what was behind that. That's just my theory of the case.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you're right. I hope they get record ratings, you know. I hope you're absolutely right. Like, they beat the shit out of the Super Bowl in ratings.
The night that Beto interrupted that little fucking press gathering of nutcases in Texas after the shooting, or day of the shooting, or whatever it was, that same night, the Hairpiece survival system went on the air and said the only reason he did it is because his fundraising numbers were down and he wanted to get his face on TV. He didn't give a shit about the kids. That's basically what Hannity said about Beto.
And he's a shit
yeah,
bird.
Yeah, he's been getting
and,
hammered.
And, you know, we've been so laser beam focused on what happened in Uvalde. Getting better. And we forget that there's some other stuff that's on the burner that's going to affect a lot of people. I'll bet you Suman, because he's out in Arizona. I bet you Suman is familiar with a guy by the name of Blake Masters. Now, granted, he sounds like some asshole in a 70s detective series. Blake Masters, Private Eye. Oh, God, I catch myself using that voice every now and then. Can't help it.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah?
There you go. I just posted the map for the primaries in the chat. It
okay, thank you.
Yeah, what state's going to be in June?
Well, Blake Masters is, thank you, Ben. Blake Masters mm-hmm. is one of the candidates for the Republican nomination for the Senate seat presently occupied by Mark Kelly, a Democrat. And this is saying the quiet part out loud, but the thing is, this is a winning strategy. I don't understand how it is, but it is a winning strategy for the Republicans now. In his website, and by the way, this guy's a venture capitalist. In other words, he's a rich dickhead. He says he will only vote to confirm federal judges, pay attention, who understand that Roe and Griswold and Casey were wrongly decided and that there is no constitutional right to abortion. Well, he includes Griswold. And I've been probably saying this as longer than anybody else, because way long ago when we first started talking about abortion on this program, I said the ultimate goal is not Roe, it is Griswold. Griswold establishes the right to privacy as a constitutional right, and it specifically addresses the right to obtain and use contraception. Most people think that means the pill. It also means, boys, condoms. Okay? So this guy thinks he's going to get elected by saying that Griswold needs to be overturned. What the fuck?
So let me get this straight. He's saying now that we need to ban condoms?
He wants Griswold overturned. That will allow states to ban condoms.
Oh, my God.
You know, I don't know if... I mean, we talk about reproductive choice, and we talk about it largely in terms of people who can get pregnant. But, fellas, you're half of it.
Does this idiot not understand that condoms don't just protect from having babies, but they also will protect from sexually transmitted diseases?
Win-win! It means gay people die! Trans people die! Sexually active people die!
Remember, in these religious nuts, sex isn't a fun thing. It's strictly for making babies, otherwise you're a fucking sinner.
Well, for everybody else, they are some kinky SOBs.
Oh, yeah.
Utah, number one state for porn.
Followed closely by...
Your state, probably.
Alabama.
Oh, okay.
My natal state.
The people who say that Jesus showed off his holy hands to the Native Americans. That's a funny story in itself.
And don't forget, Utah, until I haven't checked lately, but for a long time, the favorite flavor of Jell-O, lime is the most popular Jell-O flavor in Utah.
Taken together, that is just a nightmare.
So you got your condom bands, you got your magic underwear, you got the Jesus playing with the engines. My God.
It's the total package. It's the total package. Oh, and by the way, going back to videotape, just so you know, Ron in Raleigh reminds us an early devotee was a videotape and VHS technology in particular. Bob Crane, you know, Colonel Hogan, Hogan's Heroes, he used VHS technology to record his assignations. And Ron in Raleigh points out it was what got him murdered by his partner in crime. The movie made was called Autofocus.
Yeah, and you talk about Spank Bank. You know, he was one kinky dude. There was a book, and I keep saying I'm going to get it and read it. And they don't focus on his kinky side, because he was a hell of an entertainer on radio before he was known in movies and TV.
Oh, yeah. And interestingly, no spoiler, I mean, this is just part of the history. The series, it's on Paramount, I think. The Offer, which is about the making of The Godfather, and is so worth the effort, so worth the time you'll spend watching it. The earliest episode deals, and the story is basically told from the perspective of Al Ruddy, the producer of The Godfather. The people they found to play the roles are absolutely amazing. Whoever's playing Al Pacino has just got him nailed.
So, just
to wrap, the thing begins with Al Ruddy inventing the pitch for Hogan's Heroes. That's right. Where he came to Paramount from.
So this idiot also wants to get rid of women's birth control.
Day after pill, right? Morning after, right?
Oh, that's yeah, the Plan B, it all goes away. Plan B doesn't abort anything. It just prevents a fertilized ovum from sticking to the uterine wall. Darlene and
that
Connect
still makes Jesus cry, right?
Yes, right.
Does he not realize
the planet isn't overpopulated enough?
Yeah. Does he not realize that the different forms of birth control we have for women now? Because my cousin has she's got the implant in her arm, and that actually does two things: it keeps her from getting pregnant, but it also helps keep her periods from being so severe.
Yeah. Well, see, there are forms of birth control that are used, among other things, for a horrifying condition called PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Yeah.
And it will fuck up a woman's life. I mean, more than just, you know, bad periods, you know, or as it's called around here, Shark Week. No, really. Well, my girls call it
Robin,
Shark
I'm
going
to tell you.
Hold on. I just want to throw this out there. Those are, you know, and they're legitimate uses. They're not necessarily on label, but they are legitimate uses. And Darlene in Connecticut points out the constituency there in Arizona probably doesn't even know the import of Griswold. They probably think it's just another pro-abortion case. And this is for you, Scott. Bob Crane was my cousin, so watch it, Scott. LOL.
Oh, wow.
So, little brush with greatness.
Well, and
wow, if Darlene.
If people don't think that states are capable of putting these types of laws into effect, wasn't it Alabama that banned the importation and sale of sex toys?
Yeah, I've even got a song about it.
I mean, come on, how intrusive can you be? I mean, nobody's getting hurt. I mean, your eyesight may suffer. You may grow hair on your palms, but... So, yeah, they're capable and dedicated to the proposition that what you think and what you do and what you believe is our business, you know? And by God, we're going to step in, although we believe in freedom. Well, how fucking crazy.
Well, specifically because they believe in freedom.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys, the only way that we are ever going to stop this from happening is if our side stops sitting elections out. In other words, you know, there's way more of us than there are of them in this country. And if every single Democrat that's a registered voter would get out and vote in both the primaries, the midterms, and the presidential election, we would not have hardly any of these Republican assholes in there to stop us.
But we don't do that, Ben.
I know. And that's...
Our lives are on the line, and we don't do that.
But what did Stalin say? Ben, you're absolutely right. People should not ever miss an opportunity to vote. Okay? But what did Stalin say? And they're proving
it does not matter who votes. It matters who counts the votes.
And what key position are the Republicans in each state trying to get?
Well, you know, this guy I used to know named Bob, during the Great Purity Wars of 2015 and 2016, begged people. And a whole bunch of his audience, his community, got a case of the purity vapors and disappeared. But that guy I knew named Bob used to say, okay, you're not worried about the Supreme Court. Okay, you hate Hillary. How about the 2020 census? Is that worth voting for? Voting over? Nope. It did not matter in purity world. Didn't matter a hill of damn beans.
Yeah. Now we got Handmaid Amy.
Yeah, exactly.
And the beer boy and all them.
Oh, and by the way, Randy Radar a minute ago said, don't mess with Texas because Texas is perfectly capable of messing with itself. George just said, Texas law enforcement, all hat, no cattle. And nice. By the way, since you mentioned the Alabama dildo ban, Scott, and I said, ooh, we've got a song about that, this is a good time to play it. We're a couple of minutes over time, but this gets played every now and then. And And I can remember with photographic clarity. Hi, Clarity. The day I wrote the lyric, it was perfect. It scanned perfectly. I sent it off to John Fox. He said, "Mate, this is beautiful." And then he recorded it. And it's based on John Prine's Angel from Montgomery. Further backstory, I wrote it after reading a story about a Baptist minister in Montgomery, Alabama, who was found dead. Curiously, by himself, wearing two wetsuits, with a butt plug in one end and a dick gag in the other. Southern Baptist. Actual friend of Jerry Falwell's.
Yes. I forget his name, but yeah, that actually happened.
Yep. Here we go. John Fox is so damn good on this.
I am a good Christian. Got a good congregation. My wife's on vacation, and the kids are all grown. I've got me some swimsuits. Rubber's my desire. Got a head mask of latex that makes me just moan. Send me a dildo, I can't buy one in Montgomery. Send me a sex toy, but the deacons can't know. Just give me one ear hole that I can breathe. Fix them just so. When I was a young man, I went to seminary, prayed to Jesus to cleanse me of my dirty thoughts. I prayed and got married. We had a baby. Rubber and latex got me all tied up in knots. Send me a dildo. Can't buy one in Montgomery. Send me a sex toy. But the deacons can't know. Just give me one ear hole that I can breathe in through. Play me a tune on my rusty trombone. Bottom man, I can just hear it buzzing, and I can't do nothing, all tied up like this. I'm getting lightheaded, and the dark's so complete now. I can hear angels singing, and the rubber's just like a kiss. Can't buy one in Montgomery. Send me a sex toy. I guess the wife's gonna know.
I mean, every time I play that, I'm amazed at the musicianship, John's guitar playing, John's vocals. And shame on me for the lyric.
That's hysterical. I don't think I've heard that. I don't remember if I...
I play it every now and then.
Chris, I just posted a link to an article about the good Reverend Trussed Up and dead and embarrassing.
Jesus, there's a picture of it?
No, it's an article. I don't know if there's... read the article, but...
Did John write this song before we found out about Bechdi and Paul?
Oh, honey, I wrote this song. Oh.
Did you write it after we found out or before, though?
What? This is where repression and religious madness and bigotry and hatred will get you if you let it unfold the way they want
for it. It's the nexus, right? Yeah.
And no good will come of it if these fuckers are ever in charge of everything again.
Well, he might have had a good come.
Well, you know, the funny thing is the autopsy report found that there was no foul play. The cause of death was accidental mechanical asphyxia. And they cite that he was alone in his home. Now, it begs the question, how does one hogtie oneself with bungee cords by oneself?
Maybe he read a lot of Houdini books.
He figured it out.
The same way a suicide victim gets himself shot two or three times.
Or the same way, Roger, you may remember this, that Nelson Rockefeller was found dead sitting upright in his chair with his shoes on backwards.
Reading an upside-down copy of the Wall Street Journal, I might add.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He got back from clown practice, maybe. Or, you never know.
Or the same way people in Russia fly out windows after being shot in the head. They can actually fly.
And the joke that went around about Megan Marchek, I believe, was the lady who assisted him in his demise. She got famous because she was the last one to own a piece of the rock.
Ah.
You've got to know,
this is, and God, when was this? This is 2007. So this was 15 years ago. But he had already been pastor of the Thorington Road Southern Baptist Church for 16 years. So he kept it under wraps for 16 years. Wouldn't it just, I had my fun with the story. But if he had just come out, he'd probably still be, he'd be a happy 66-year-old guy. But thanks to Christian conservatism, he had to hide his kink, and he paid with his life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I guess the Thorington Road Baptist Church is still a going concern. And the funny thing is, the previous story to that one, headline, Christian Clown in Perv Bust. Illinois man had porn cash from trip to Philippines orphanage.
Oh, my God.
Klutzo the Clown.
Oh, God. Turbo. Hey, kids.
Oh, he took the illicit photos during a clowning trip to the House of Joy Orphanage in the Philippines.
God damn. Well, who was another famous clown that broke bad?
John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget about him, yeah.
Kids! Okay, we're gonna wrap with a note from Lady B, because I got errands I have to run. Lady B says, many guys think they wield a mighty sword. Lots of times it's just a pen knife. Or that tiny file you get with nail clippers. Anyway, earlier you talked about a guy who flew a biplane. That reminded me of the book Illusions, The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah. It's a spiritual book written by Richard Bach at 175 pages. It's a quick and entertaining read. Same guy who wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Your story also reminds me of one of my favorite songs by Pink Floyd. It's called Learning to Fly. Above the ground, on a wing and a prayer, my grubby halo, a vapor trail in the empty air. Across the clouds I see my shadow fly, out of the corner of my watering eye. A dream unfriendly in the morning light could blow this soul right through the roof of the night. There's no sensation to compare with this. Suspended animation, a state of bliss. Gotta keep my eyes from the circling skies, tongue-tied and twisted, just an earthbound misfit, I. Lady B says, have a good evening and a great weekend. Like Scott says, may there always be paper on the roll and soap in the dish. Amen, Sister Lady B. Amen. And, you know, Lady B, you'll get a kick out of this. Anytime I'm flying, back in the day, Annette and I would text each other the message from the movie The Abyss. And as he's going down in the suit and he's texting with the device on his... This is two mentions of The Abyss in 1 week. He's texting on the little keypad on his wrist. We'd start with that, but once we were done and I had to shut off the phone and everything, I would, I'd put it in airplane mode so I could still listen to music, and I'd put my cans on my head, and Lady B, I would cue up that song because I love the opening of Learning to Fly. The first few lines are just perfect for taking off in an aircraft. Let me, what exactly are the words? And by the way, we got $205 to go to finish the challenges. Please, could we do that? Thanks for all the help we've gotten so far. Okay, here.
That album was
there. It is. There it is. Yeah, because
on CD.
The first time I ever queued it up and played it, I was in a private aircraft, and was able to look out the cockpit window. Into the distance, a ribbon of black stretched to the point of no turning back. A flight of fancy on a windswept field. Standing alone, my senses reeled. A fatal attraction is holding me fast. How can I escape this irresistible grasp? And then, when in commercial flights, you know, you taxi out and you get in position and you get in, and you're waiting and then the pilot pops the clutch and away you go. I cue it up so that the minute he pops the clutch, I hear Into the Distance, a Ribbon of Black. Because I'm not the most confident flyer, and it kind of helps. I don't know why, but it does. So, y'all, I got to get out of here. I'm already late. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate the conversation this evening immensely. Thanks all week long for sharing in the grief, the anguish, the fury. Thank you. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all volunteer staff. Thank you. Very kindly. In the chat room and in the Skype group. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a union shop. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Please get your booster. I had to postpone mine because I'm on antibiotics now, so that would have been yesterday, but they said no, probably not best to overload your immune system. So that's been put out to like June 10th. Keep wearing your mask. It's not a bad idea. Even if Bill Maher makes fun of it. Stay safe. Get your booster. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Maintain your social distance. And if some guy comes at you out of the blazing heat saying, we're not going to have no judges that don't realize Griswold was wrongly decided, avoid that maggot like the plague. Because he is. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.